If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
F me, F me, F me. F me, F me, F me.
Au natural, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
The booty, the booty. Lisa May's got booty. The booty, the booty. Lisa May's got booty.
Let me explain something to you, all right? Cripples are not cool.
Peter, what the hell is that all about?
It's a message, Joe. I don't want you and your kind eating here anymore. You're ruining what was supposed to be a cool establishment.
Peter, you're one of my closest friends. Are you telling me that you have a problem with me being handicapped?
As a matter of fact, Joe, yes, I think it's immoral. It's a lifestyle choice you're forcing on America.
We handicapped are a proud people.
Yeah, when you're not drinking and gambling on your reservations, which we gave you.
And now.
No bingo, play still on.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show for the 9th of...
Oh, yes.
All right. Where's the monkey? What's going on with Kevin
thank
now?
You. Thank you.
Jumped
thank
right
you.
In there. I'm impressed.
Thanks.
I don't know. I haven't heard a word from anybody, really.
It's been weird, by the way.
Is
we've
it
all
just
been
us
doing
here?
This. We've all been doing this job an awful long time. And in the last week or so, it just seems like... We've had a truancy problem, doesn't it?
Well, I was late one morning, and Kevin was in behind me. Then Ralph was late the next morning.
Shaolin, didn't show up one day. Intern Johnny didn't
yep.
show up one day.
Johnny.
He called at
Johnny,
least.
Yeah.
Yep. And now,
well, Lisa wasn't officially late. Lisa was
no,
late,
she wasn't.
Late for Lisa,
right.
Which means she wasn't 20 minutes early.
Right.
The blue lines.
Exactly.
Blue lines ringing.
What a shock!
I can only assume.
Let's find out.
Hey, Kev.
By the way, I'd like to point out, and back me up on this, kids in the room, that with this week, Kevin was bragging about how long it's been since he's been late. Just this week, he
yep.
was saying, hey, I want you guys to notice it's been a couple of months since I strolled in here late.
He was right.
It was my turn, people. Everybody else got a chance this week.
So this is just the week?
It was, yeah. I mean, we have a schedule up in the office. Today's my day. Oh,
I didn't
even know that. Wow, I didn't know we had a schedule.
Where might you be?
Well, I'm very close. You know, I time things perfectly, which is the way to do it in Los Angeles, because if you time it down to the second, what could go wrong with that?
Exactly.
So on the 405 South, there's an, I don't know if it was an accident or whether there were like two or three cars on the right side of the road with a couple of cop cars.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in even the right lane, just way off to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, every freaking a-hole has to hit the brakes and slow down and get a good look at what's going on over there. And, I mean, it was literally stopped on the 405 for almost a mile.
Wow.
And no one was on the road. There weren't car parts. The cars weren't smashed up. You know, it was nothing to look at. There's no ambulance. Nobody could get put in. Just everybody needed to slow down and have a good look at what was going on.
Lisa, you're the news lady. What
traffic?
whatever. What is that about? What is it people are trying to do?
Well, I think it's just the people in the front. If a few people slow down, then everybody else is kind of screwed anyway because they have to slow down because the people in front of them slow down. So they may as well
sure.
look.
But what makes somebody slow down to see a car on the side of the road?
They want to see if there. Well, there are a couple of cars, so they want to see if somebody's hurt, if there's someone laying on the road.
But there was none of that. There was no ambulance there. You couldn't see, like, the ambulance light or a stretcher.
Was there a police car?
Yeah, there were two police cars and three other cars.
So they want to see if the guns are drawn.
Yeah.
But well off to the side of the road. I mean, you could have gone 500 miles an hour in the right lane and been fine.
So they almost had to turn around to look to
yeah,
see them?
Like people are getting out of their car to go look. It's like, there's nothing happening here. People, speed up.
It's
if I see,
super
if there's
annoying.
Something on the side of the road, I speed up because I want to get past it as fast as possible.
Sure.
I think that's the best advice. I mean, they do that even on the opposite side of the road. The other day
yeah.
I was driving on the 405 North, and there were people, you know, trimming the lawn on the opposite side of the road, and they would slow down and look.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Yeah, it's shocking.
I want to
it
kill
is.
People. I'm going to start carrying a gun.
Well, that'll help.
That's the only answer. I'm going to take my Glock with me, and I'm just going to start opening fire.
Oops, well, sorry. That was me.
Are you okay?
Wow, Lisa.
I got excited for a second. He's going to have a gun.
Every once in a while, you accidentally graze the mic. That's just part of being in radio. Lisa just did the Widowmaker. That was a full on.
I headlong
that was
dove
a right
into it.
Cross haymaker. Just destroyed the mic.
Thought she was going to swallow it, and I was actually getting a little aroused, to be honest, the way it was going.
Sorry, boys.
Well, Kevin, I'm going to pretend you're here and tell the story that I love from yesterday about the guy who got through airport security who flew from Lima, Peru, and then changed planes in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, on his way to LaGuardia. And, Kevin, you'll see why I thought of you when I tell you that he would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling kids on the final leg of the flight who said to him, "Are you aware, sir, that you have a monkey on your head looking out from under your cap?" He had a monkey on his head. He was traveling with a marmoset monkey that nobody noticed from Peru to Florida, that he switched planes, and then it was on the way into LaGuardia that the monkey, I guess, started peeking out from underneath the hat. And people are asking, maybe, you know, security should have noticed that the man had a monkey when he went through security, just, you know, for information's sake. But I guess you walk through a metal detector and your monkey's not going to show up. I guess they don't look under people's hats yet.
Yeah.
How big was the guy's hat?
Well, it was. It doesn't say, but it was a marmoset monkey. You know, those are little tiny monkeys. I mean, they're the size of a, I don't know, what are they? The size of a grapefruit or something. You know, they're
is that
tiny
how
monkeys.
Small they are?
Right, but you can't put that under a baseball hat.
It had to be like a turban style hat, right? It had to be like a wrap.
Or it had to be the Abraham Lincoln top hat.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's wearing, is a stovepipe. Yeah, maybe he was. But I don't know. That's a long time for me to have a monkey on my head and be worried about what's going on. You know what I mean?
I admire that guy. I need a monkey.
I know. I know you've been wanting a monkey for a long time, but
yeah.
I'd just be worried about what was left behind from the monkey. If
I was going to say, how does that monkey hold it that long?
Yeah.
That's a long time for a monkey. For anybody.
Every once in a while, he had to get up and go to the restroom and clean out his hair.
Yeah, maybe so.
Poor little
monkey. I think I'd almost rather have a monkey than a midget. I mean, if it came right down to it, if I was given one as a gift, I think I'd actually prefer the monkey.
Oh, that's not even open for debate, of course.
Because the monkey can't go crazy at any moment like a midget.
Yeah, that's true. They are unreliable. That's true. All right. Well, anyway, that's good times right there. That's your monkey update. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, because we actually do – I know you find this hard to believe. We actually do have a big show today. We actually do have one that may be worth listening to today, including our pal Flea stopping by. One of the world's greatest bass players is going to be here in the studio today.
Yep.
Flea is with a little band called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We don't play much of them here on K-Rock, but some of the hardcore fans may have heard of the band.
You know, we should probably up the rotation on the Red Hot Chili Peppers just this morning, so people can kind of get a grasp of who it is and what he does.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I'm afraid people aren't going to be able to put the name with the band. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who's this guy? Which band is he with? I don't think I know. Is he with the guys that whistle that song? Is that the name? Also, the return of LaQuisha on the Kevin and Bean show today. You know, she has still been out there. She calls us from time to time and says, "Hey, guys, when are you going to let me do a show?" But we haven't had a TV show that we thought was worthy of Miss LaQuisha until The Pickup Artist hit the air.
That's a winner.
And LaQuisha is going to be reviewing that. We got some highlights of that new show. What's that? That's VH1. That show, Pickup Artist.
Yeah.
It's VH1, and it's basically Chris Angel saying that he's a ladies' man and trying to teach losers how to pick up women.
Oh,
fantastic!
That's fabulous.
I'll look forward to that. Now let's hope LaQuisha has the radio turned off in the 8 o'clock hour. We debut our new feature, Axe of Black. We got that coming up today.
Yeah, that's got the management for the radio station a little nervous.
Ask a Mexican has been very popular. What's wrong with Axe of Black?
They were fine with Ask a Mexican.
People don't realize how trustworthy we are with racial comedy.
Well, I mean, there are lots of people who don't know black people and have a lot of questions about things, and they don't have a forum. They don't have an opportunity. They don't have a way to get those questions answered. I think we're providing a public service.
That's what I think as well. We're trying to keep America safe.
Exactly. Exactly. Our friend Jim Berry, who's the consumer electronics expert, usually we have him on ahead of the January Las Vegas show where they unveil a bunch of the new technology. He's got a back-to-school special prepared for us today. Apparently, stuff is coming fast and furiously, and he's got some new stuff he wants to talk to us about. And we're always in for new gadgets.
Because, cell phones, all different ways that you can cheat on tests.
Yeah. Hey, and I'm sure that's something that students are looking for. Also, debut of a brand new song from Kevin Federlezzi. He dropped something by in a brown paper sack last night. I guess Is he in love, Mike, or just hitting that?
You never know. I mean, he's such a ladies' man himself, the Federlein. It could be a one-night thing, but it could mean marriage with him, you know? I mean, I guarantee that it means that he's going to make a child with this woman. That's all we do know.
I have a question. Why would you ask Mike? What would he know about you?
Because
he follows the news.
I was on the phone with Ashton Kutcher earlier.
If you don't know who the new mystery lady in Federlisi's life is that we're talking about, it's Britney Spears' mom.
He's so fickle with the ladies, though. You know, you just don't know what this means. But I'm sure he'll give us some insight when we talk to him.
Don't you hit the sister before you hit the mom, though?
No.
I mean, just as a matter of course.
My sister's 16 years old.
Well, then you wait for her instead of going for the mom. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if you're doing this as like a strategic kind of move to get back at Brittany, the mom's where you go. If you're doing
the
it for sexual, you know, pleasure, there's one you go other places. But if you're doing it.
Or maybe K-Fed loves crazy chicks.
Hey, that's a good point. That's an excellent point. And really, the only thing I'm excited about today is just after 6 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll explore the phenomena of the chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
My new hero, Tay Zonday. We'll talk all about that, and it is blown up. So that'll be just after 6. So it's a pretty big Kevin and Bean Show today. I think you'll all agree with me, and we'll get it officially started with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat right after this.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 547.
Wait, who's that? What's that voice I'm hearing in my headphones?
That's me. I was late. Now I'm here.
This is awesome because that means tomorrow it's my turn and it's Friday.
Oh, so nice. You picked the right day.
I'm going to sleep in. It's awesome. All right. It's 5:48. It's Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. First thing this morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Melanie Brown of the Spice Girls. You know her as Scary Spice?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the bitching and moaning she's doing about not getting any money from Eddie Murphy because they had a baby together.
Right.
All the time. We had no idea. She was married.
What?
She got married back in June.
It's quite the rebound.
Does that mean...
She got married in Vegas. It has nothing to do with the child support.
Because, he still has to?
Yeah, because, okay. You know, still his baby.
Right.
But
I guess it
now
was...
we know why she wasn't asking for palimony.
I guess it's that he doesn't have to pay because she's married.
Right, but she was never asking for that.
Who knew?
Just for the kids. But apparently she's secretly married to a movie producer named Steven Belafonte. I have no idea whether he's related to the legendary Harry Belafonte or not, but Belafonte's a... fairly
strange
uncommon name.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Apparently they met, fell deeply in love, and got married in Vegas back on June 6th.
Huh. I don't know the timing of this. Did she have sex with Eddie Murphy after they were married, or was it before?
No, this is way
before.
Before.
Okay.
Yeah. This is just 2 months ago they got married.
I don't know how old the... Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
But, you know, the kid's already born, so you got to figure it's...
2 months.
9 months.
Yeah, that wouldn't
at
work.
Least.
You're right.
Yeah. Newt Gingrich. It's a name you don't hear very often.
Nope.
Bitching and moaning about the televised presidential debates.
Why? What's wrong?
I don't know. He says they're nothing but a cross between The Bachelor, American Idol, and Who's Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
I don't agree with Newt on a lot of things, but I think he's pretty right on that. You do get the sense that it's more about how can I look good on television than how can I lead the country in
but
those
that's
debates.
The case.
They have been frustrated.
If that's
debates?
The case, we would get someone who was... attractive, talented, and actually smarter than a fifth grader, which is better than we got now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know
what? Move up.
I think being president, a huge amount of it is being on TV, convincing people you know what you're talking about.
Communicating.
Especially after our current president.
Communication.
I think maybe that's important.
Yeah, he debated too, remember?
Yeah.
Is Newt going to run?
No,
Newt's not running.
He's out. Okay.
Yeah, he's out. He's got too many skeletons in his closet.
You know, I'm a fan of presidential trivia.
Sure, who isn't?
And I don't know if you've thought of this or not, but we've never had a president named Newt before.
God almighty.
I'm just saying.
Can you
stop it?
It'd be cool.
It would be cool.
Come on. Our country would be rad if we had a president named Newt. All right, the paparazzi are asking that I keep moving down the carpet.
Paparazzi are very bored with this conversation right now, B.
Amy Winehouse.
Whoa.
Crazier than a crap house rat.
Crazier than an Anaheim Angels rat?
Crazier than that, even.
Yeah.
Apparently, Amy was hospitalized recently for, you've guessed it, exhaustion.
Exhaustion.
So disappointed.
people are speculating that the singer of Rehab may want to take a note from her own lyrics and check in, because that seems to be the beginning. Once you start going to the hospital for exhaustion, seems like there's usually a substance abuse right behind that.
I'd like to talk to people who work at hospitals sometime. We don't have time now, but sometime, and say, really, has anyone checked in for exhaustion? I mean, does that... Because
don't you just lay down?
Yeah, anyone else, you go, okay, I need a day or two off, I'm going to sleep.
I can see it if you're lost in Angeles Crest Forest for a week. if you're out on a hike and you get turned around and they have to come in with a chopper and airlift you out.
Yeah, because, and you're weak because you haven't eaten and all that.
Then I can see you going to the hospital and
or
being treated for exhaustion.
Playing at Wimbledon and you play until you collapse, something like that, and they have to rush you in and give you an IV.
No, that never happens.
Actually,
nope.
It does.
No.
But, okay.
But I'm just saying, who goes to the hospital when you're that tired? You just go, okay, need to sleep. That's it.
Turn off your phone. 8 hours later, you feel much better.
Yeah.
Amy has canceled the rest of her tour.
She's that tired?
Due to her ailment.
That's crazy tired.
That's tired. She's going to take some time off and get some more tats. Maybe get that tooth filled in. Maybe get that tooth
good
replaced.
Idea. Yeah.
Big snaggle tooth.
I am, I mentioned I was disappointed. I have her in the DUI pool. And when I heard that she's in the hospital, I thought, great news. But in fact, just tired, not drunk. So I don't win the money yet. She's one of my three celebrities that I picked.
I was gone the day we did the celebrity DUI pool. So do I not get anyone for this whole run?
No. You missed it.
You out.
That's bad.
Dude, you don't come the day after Election Day and say, hey, I couldn't make it yesterday. I'd like to vote.
Yeah, same thing.
Can I get my ballot in, please?
It's the same thing.
Lindsay Lohan, speaking of drunks, according to OK Magazine, is pregnant.
Yes. Oh!
Yes. No.
No.
Yes. No.
Yes.
Please, no.
The article says that it happened while she was in Promises having that romance with the married guy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. Reportedly, she tried to harm herself when he broke it off with her when he left the treatment facility, and this was the reason she was so destroyed, because actually she's pregnant. I'll take it for what it's worth. This is a tabloid story, but I like it. Me, personally, I'm behind it.
We do like to choose to believe the worst.
Sure, it's more fun that way. Nicole Richie's beat her pal Paris Hilton at the PR game. When Paris did her post-jail interview with Larry King, she got 3.2 million viewers. Not too shabby for basic cable. Certainly Larry's highest numbers in a long time. However, nearly twice as many people tuned in to see Nicole on 2020 with Diane Sawyer. 6.5 million viewers.
I wonder why.
Well, I think more people watch. Yeah. Still, to this day, although the cable's so pervasive, I still think people watch basic broadcast television more so than cable.
The purpose of jail is to teach a lesson. Did it work with you?
It was a very traumatic experience, but I feel like God does make everything happen for a reason.
That's true.
Sure.
Thank
does.
You, Paris. Yeah,
he made you for a reason.
Sometimes he'll make people go to jail because they drank too much and then drove and then have cocaine in their pocket. That happens.
Happens. Jeff Goldblum has an interesting personality quirk. He likes to show up at the door when people are delivering something or dropping by. Nude.
Yes.
Yeah!
Despite the odd attire or lack thereof, one source says he's always very friendly and acts as if there's nothing unusual with the situation at all. Apparently, there is a website that has a picture of Jeff with Lisa Marie. You familiar with her? Former girlfriend Tim Burton? The model actress?
I don't think so.
Kevin, remember the movie Ed Wood? She's the one who played Vampyra, that real tall statuesque.
Oh, okay.
Is that the right? Is that the one I'm talking about?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
She's got sort of like a Dita Von Teese sort of look to her.
Okay.
Very
pretty
goth,
girl.
Pale. Yeah, very pretty girl.
I'm in.
Apparently, two of them are practicing some nudism together.
Is that right?
So congratulations.
Well, let her answer the door then.
Word.
Yeah.
And this is a great story. I mean, really, really good.
Okay.
You got to love a girl who was at the American Idol auditions in Dallas and refused to leave despite the fact that she was in labor.
Oh, my God.
20-year-old Antoria Gillen was waiting in line with the other wannabes Monday when she went into labor, but she kept pressing on until she got her audition. She later told reporters, I wasn't leaving without my golden ticket to the next round.
How'd she do?
Well, they haven't revealed it yet. I think they're going to save it
for the
show.
Oh, this is the new ones. Oh,
yeah, this is the one for upcoming in January.
I'd like to sing while giving birth. That's my talent.
Should make you better at it, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, it does mention here that it's buried in the article. After the performance where she found out she was indeed heading to L.A. for the next round.
Really?
She finally then agreed to take an ambulance to the hospital where her son was born.
Wow.
Jameel LeBaron Idol McGowan.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Jameel LeBaron Idol McGowan.
You can already tell she's going to be a terrible parent.
Well, I mean, how's she going to do this? She's going to leave this kid in, like, 4 months?
Yes.
Just leave it somewhere with somebody?
Yes. Lisa,
well, remember
the girl from the reality show? What was it? Ralph was talking about
Who wants to be the next Pussycat doll.
Yeah, she kept bitching and moaning about how much she missed her daughter, but had no problems leaving her behind and going to live in a house on Sunset.
Her name was Asia, wasn't it?
It was Asia.
Like 1 year old
age
kid.
I'm thinking of. That's so young. Yeah,
put it in a dumpster. Yeah.
Jameel LeBaron
Idol
McGowan.
No, you don't put it in a dumpster. You can drop it off at a hospital.
But you could put it in a dumpster.
Yeah, but that's a horrible idea.
I guess.
Yeah. Douche.
Jeez.
I want to give the early folks a chance to win some tickets. I've got 5 pairs of tickets to a spectacularly funny new comedy called Superbad. It's coming out on August the 17th. However, we've got tickets for the red carpet world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Monday, August the 13th. I've had a chance to see this movie, and I'm guaranteeing you hard, hard laughter. Laughter you're like, I'm going to pull something.
Excellent.
I'm going to rupture something inside me. I'm not quite sure what organ, but something.
Funnier than Hot Rod, you're saying?
I haven't seen Hot Rod.
Funnier than Daddy Daycare with Cuba Gooding Jr.
I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, but you know that's going
to
be bad.
I'd like to know if it's funnier than Dazed and Confused.
Oh, how dare you.
Go on.
It's too much to ask, Lisa.
I went and bought another copy of that yesterday because I couldn't find it.
Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, I was like, I want to see that again.
Because Lisa stole yours?
Oh, my God.
Probably, I don't know.
Because she secretly loves it?
I did. We played the clips for you, and I was like, that's such a good movie. I need to get that again.
Great, great film. Very different kind of film, but yeah. Very entertaining nonetheless. Michael Cera stars, you know him, of course, from Arrested Development, one of our favorite TV shows. Jonah Hill, who was in 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up. It's produced by Judd Apatow, who, of course, produced those films as well. And Seth Rogen.
I saw him playing a cop.
This, and he plays a cop in it as well. Yeah, it's very, very funny. And you will use the word McLovin for the rest of your life. If you'd like to go now, I've got 5. Well, you can't go now because it's not showing now. But if you'd like to win now to go on Monday, August the 13th, I've got 5 pairs of passes to the first 5 callers right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now and win your tickets to go see Superbad at the red carpet premiere. Should be
fantastic.
A good time. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors. Remember he was the stranger in Big Lebowski?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the dude abides.
That's another one I want to see again.
And he was the brother to Kurt Russell in Tombstone. He's just been all over the place. He is 63 years old today. Melanie Griffith, speaking of actors.
Oh, my God, yes.
Dude, she gifted.
This is one of Bean's.
It's inexplicable to me that she still gets work. She's got horrible.
She's got a new job. She's in Viva Laughlin.
Drives him crazy.
The new musical drama on CBS that Hugh Jackman.
Oh, have you seen her face? Have you seen her face?
I have seen Melanie Griffith's
that's
face.
What I'm, yes. That's part of what I'm saying.
Okay. Whitney Houston. Kiss my ass. 44 years old today. Eric Bana, who was so great in Munich.
Ew.
You're right, Psycho?
Town boy.
And so horribly miscast in The Hulk. He is 39 years old today. And speaking of 39, Gillian Anderson, our pal from The X-Files.
Oh.
And if you hadn't heard, good news, they are working on the second X-Files feature film. So we'll get to see her soon. She's also 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Guys, we love to tip you off from time to time on things you got to check out on the internet. You know, the internet has replaced television in my heart as the greatest thing in my house. And yeah, that's saying something, because I'm a guy who is obsessed with and loves TV my whole life, right?
Bean spends his entire life either listening to the news or watching the news or looking it up on the internet or whatever.
Yeah, he's plugged in all the time.
All of us come in every day and we say, have you seen? I saw it a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Dude, have you seen the new? Yeah, I saw it a month ago.
But the thing I'm telling you, though, is if I could only choose one, I think I'd have to, at this point, choose the internet over the television.
No,
and the internet is now providing great, great programming. There's so many awesome things that you can watch. There are 2 things I want to tell you about that you have to check out. One is, if you've not yet seen the Jimmy Kimmel Born Ultimatum video. That's something you have to go to YouTube and look at. Have you seen that yet, Kevin?
I haven't. No,
Guillermo stars in the Born Ultimatum. And it's not like the usual video that they do where Guillermo just plays the character and they edit the clips. Matt Damon is in it, too.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
And it's phenomenal. It's one of the best things that Jimmy's ever done on his show. So definitely check that out. The other thing is the new internet sensation that already has been viewed more than 3 million times. And I'm talking about our good friend Tay Zonde and his smash hit Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
And it goes on like this for 5 minutes.
Baby born will die before this in chocolate rain.
It's the most repetitious song ever.
It is. And the thing about it is you get the impression that he's just making up the words as he goes along. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. You don't have any idea what chocolate rain is. It's just chocolate rain and then you say something. Chocolate rain and you say something.
And it's so funny because he's a black dude that's doing it and he sounds like an opera singer. I mean, that's the last thing you expect to hear out of his mouth.
Because he looks like a little kid.
He looks like he's a 17-year-old boy going, chocolate
rain. He's 25. That's his real deep voice. He says it is not faked. He actually is so far presenting to the world that he is serious about the music career, and he has other MP3s up there also. He says, yeah, this is my stuff, and I'm trying to make it.
You're
trying to make
it. Chocolate clouds.
But, you know, he's standing in front of like a wood paneled, you know, he's at a rec room or something like that with wood paneling on the back. And one of the things that's so funny about him, besides the fact that he's a skinny little guy with this enormous voice, he's got these huge glasses on, is that he moves away from the mic after every line to breathe.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he does that, but there's actually text on the screen that explains that he does that.
He's moving away from the microphone so that he can breathe.
So for whatever reason, Tay Zonde and Chocolate Rain, and that's all you need to know is the words Chocolate Rain to find it on YouTube. For whatever reason, it has spawned a whole cottage industry of people who have done parodies, people who have done covers, people who have done answer records, celebrities have gotten involved.
Wait a minute, what's an answer record?
I'm telling you, it's
white
just
white rain.
There's one called Vanilla Snow, for instance, that's out there. I mean, it's insane how big it's gotten and how fast it's gotten. And this is one of the reasons I love the internet, because it's so much more interactive. I mean, something like this could never work on television; it just could. So here's just some tiny clips of some of what else is out there. After you've enjoyed Chocolate Rain, maybe then you want to look for the cover version that is actually put up of a nun with an acoustic guitar singing the song. I don't know why a nun needs to get involved, but she's up there. She's doing her version of the song.
She feels it, man. She feels the Chocolate Rain. And again, if you want to go to krock.com, there is a link on the very front page of krock.com for Chocolate Rain, the original, and then something else that we're going to play in a second.
There's a video of a guy in a Darth Vader suit singing Chocolate Rain. I don't understand the tie-in there.
That's one of my favorites.
I mean, I don't get what that's all about. Then, you know, you go past Darth Vader. The next thing you know, you guys know who McGruff the crime dog is?
Yeah.
The government came up with him. He's a little, you know, a public service announcement dog that tells you how to keep your house safe. For some reason, they've got a puppet up there playing the keyboard and singing the song.
Chocolate rain.
That's McGruff right there.
Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
It sounds like the same voice. Did they use the same, the dude?
Yeah, it's not the same guy. No, it's a different guy. I love what some of the dance guys have done, some of the remix guys. Here's one called the 8-Bit Remix, and they've made an awesome video for this that makes it look like you're watching a video game as you're listening to this melody go along. I mean, it's so funny that a song so bad would capture so many people's imagination.
Do you think
you know?
That's why it captured? Because people are I can't even figure out what it's about.
No, 100%. If you watch this video, the whole time, any reasonable person tells themselves that this was a 65-year-old white guy that was balding and was singing in a very operatic manner, this would never have taken off. It's the fact that it's like a 25-year-old Sri Lankan kid that looks like he would have the voice of a mouse.
Yeah.
And he just belts it out.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how this happened, but on The Best Week Ever, the VH1 show that they do, where they basically do a recap of the week's news, John Mayer was one of the guests, the musician John Mayer.
Right.
And he's on there with a black guy who is one of the comedians that they have interviewing on the show. And for some reason, they're doing an interview about something else, and he just breaks out in Chocolate Rain. John Mayer starts just singing Chocolate Rain out of nowhere. He has no idea what the melody is, but he does give it a good effort.
Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate's falling on my window in my car.
Huh?
Chocolate rain from the sewer.
Okay, I can feel that.
To the plumbing.
Okay.
In a jar.
Ooh, chocolate rain.
You don't know this rain falling down.
He's going for it.
Rain.
Smells a little bit rain. Of poopy poopy.
All right, I don't really need the poopy part, John Mayer, but thank you very much
for
that.
Who's the idiot in the background?
Well, that's the other black guy who's just one of the comedians, you know, that they have.
Is he Tourette's? Right! Right!
I don't know what he's doing. Now, here's my favorite, and then we're going to debut a brand new piece of the puzzle for the legacy of Chocolate Rain that we created here at K-Rock yesterday. But here's my favorite of the ones that are currently online. This is Trey Cool, the drummer for Green Day, okay? And he parodies the video. I mean, he does the exact same movements as Tay Zonde does in the video, where he's going back and forth on the microphone. He's got the headphones on. He's standing in front of the wood paneling. You know what I mean? He knows none of the words, but he's such a funny guy that he just makes stuff up. Here's a little bit of his version of the Chocolate Rain. Trey Cool from Green Day.
Chocolate rain. I don't know the words again, but chocolate rain. Seldom mentioned on the radio, chocolate rain. It's the fear your leaders call control, chocolate rain. Worse than swearing, worse than calling names, chocolate rain. Then it's say it publicly insane, chocolate rain.
Here's my favorite one.
No one wants to hear about it now, chocolate rain. Orlando Bloom was good in that one movie, Chocolate Rain.
You know what I mean? He's just making it up.
Now
but it's a great effort.
Now we know why he doesn't sing.
Right, exactly. So anyway, so that's what's out there right now. By the way, there's something like 4,000 different Chocolate Rain videos up on YouTube.
4,000?
Right, yeah, it's insane. It's
people
crazy.
People in this country aren't working hard enough.
I'd like to suggest 4,001, however.
Yeah, really? Now I've not heard. I guess we got a world premiere right here, right?
Our intern, Shaolin Robot, who we've had for about, I don't know, a month or so.
Yeah.
Who's out of her mind. She dumpster dives. She did Cantonese Aroki. You might remember her from that.
Locked
she's a UCLA student. And she locked out of her room at 3 a.m. We asked her what she was doing. She said chilling. She doesn't talk to her dad. I mean, there's something crazy every day about her. But she, apparently Chocolate Rain struck a chord. And so she decided to do the song. And you can hear the song now, but you can also go to krock.com on the front page and watch the video.
Oh,
now
great.
We're talking.
Of Shaolin Robot singing Chocolate Rain.
Shaolin Rain. Computer chips are what's inside my brain. Shaolin Rain. I eat dog and drive like I'm insane. Shaolin Rain. Please update the code in my hard drive. Shaolin Rain. Order to survive, cafe you.
Oh, Cantonese.
DJ Tango Chungo, cafe you. Ngom Sego Chogan, my, yeah.
Come on, international hit right there.
How about that? That's fantastic.
And there's already a video up of her singing at frontpagekrock.com.
That's great news, because we've had a lot of people who have heard her and have fallen deeply in love with her on the radio, as we have, and have said, I've got to see me some Shaolin Robot. Now you can. It's up on the website.
So there you go. Chocolate Rain. Go to YouTube and search it if you want to, and you'll see 4,000 videos. Who said they have too much time on their hands? You, Mike? Lisa?
Yeah, I did.
People
yeah.
have way too much time on their hands. Well, 6.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You've made a tragic error. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You probably had it on for Loveline and somebody just left it.
Yeah.
But that happens.
I wouldn't suggest that, to be honest.
Plain White Tees, also Chevelle. That's the 1-2 punch you want to wake up with. That's all coming up here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, the Afro line, 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. Probably vast majority of people listening right now have heard of the Afro Line, enjoyed the work of others from the Afro Line, but have never thought to call it themselves. But it is available for you anytime you think of something you might want to share with Kevin Bean or the audience.
People always call while they're in their cars because, let's face it, you're in traffic, you're moving 1 mile an hour, you're a little bored.
Yeah. I'm stuck in traffic and I need to take a dump. This is torture.
Okay, but again, don't feel like you have to share everything. I mean, if you've got something that, you know, is interesting, go ahead and leave it.
Yeah, we do say any topic, and I think that's our bad.
It is, yeah.
If you really have to, you know, dump out, as they say in John from Cincinnati, feel free to keep that to yourself or call a friend. That we don't necessarily need. Nick, our sign holder, our window licker, They've been talking about...
banning?
I don't know how to say this. A TV show.
Oh.
And so we can't talk to them about the certain things until that happens, but it's just not happening, and we don't know what's going on. We don't know what the update is.
Yeah.
But this girl wants to get an update.
Kevin Bean, is Nick still a virgin? Hook me up.
Yeah, that'd be sweet, wouldn't it? Being with Nick for his first time. Yeah. Apparently, not to be cryptic here, apparently Nick's on a TV show for MTV about virgins, and we just don't have an air date yet. We can't really talk to him about it until it airs, and we don't know when that's going to be, but hopefully soon.
Again, people call us from the road. This one is the kind of thing that we want to know because, you know, you see stickers on the back of pretty much everybody's car.
Mm-hmm.
This is spectacular.
Kevin and Bean, and especially Dave, the King of Mexico. I'm on the 10 freeway, driving next to a big white van. On the side, it says Los Dodgers. And Dodgers is spelled D-O-J-E-R-S. And the D is two ladies' legs, one of them bent to shape a D.
That's fantastic.
That does rule.
That rules so hard.
People are starting to use the text to landline feature a little bit more often.
I sent you a text to landline message. Ban car, 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 ban car.
Hell of a city, Bangkok.
Yep, the best.
Hell of a city.
Hi, I'm Psycho Mike. And I like spicy, spicy sausage in my mouth because I'm 100% homo.
Yeah, we had a topic yesterday. What do you do if you hit on, and take home a transvestite? You find out it's a dude.
Right.
That ends it, right?
Not for everyone.
For most people, yeah.
Not for Mike. We also talked about furries. And those are people who like to dress up like animals and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all of them like to have sex, but a lot of them do. We saw that on Entourage.
Hey, if I like Jet the Fish, if I think he's handsome, does that make me a furry? I mean, I'm just asking. I'm curious.
It's a good question because he is a fish.
I think we need to have a Jet off. We need to have, because a lot of listeners do Jed. You like that, Jed? Jed? You like that? All right.
Hello?
All right, good. Hey there, Delilah. Huge song.
Yes.
Huge. Those of you that are getting tired of it, just understand.
Pick number one.
Most people aren't.
Yeah.
I'm in the first group, but okay, that's just the way it goes. But people are now writing their own Hey There Delilah songs. We wrote Hey There Vagina, and we can't play it anymore because it mentions the word vagina, and that scares everybody.
Hey There Delilah. That song is gayer than when Gay came to Gay Town and had gay sex with the mayor in the courtyard.
That's one.
Okay.
Here's another.
Turn out your hiner, what it do in New York City? If you like saxophones, homosexuals, subways, and P. Diddy, then it's for you. Goo-goo-goo-choo. 1,000 miles seems pretty far, but I'll get drunk and drive in the car, and I'll be pounding brews with Lisa May and her vajayjay. Yay. Hey, ball!
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
So since we can't play Hey There Vagina, we did have to clean it up for the censors.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make sure that we did something that was not close to offensive. As a matter of fact, as far from offensive as possible. So I present for you again, Hey There, How Are Ya? on K-Rock.
Who could be offended by that? No one, I say.
Hey there, how are ya? I think abstinence is swell, 'cause to break the bond of chastity would send you straight to hell. Yes, it's true.
That is true. Yeah.
Virginity's the thing to do. You know it's true. Hey there, how are ya? Drugs and alcohol are bad. I think milk is easily the best beverage I've ever had. Yes, it's true.
That's nice.
It makes your bones real strong, too. Milk is cool. Oh, it's what you do to me. Oh, Jesus Christ in books. Oh, it's what you do to me.
your prayers, eat your vegetables. I drive my parents' minivan. I think that Creed's my favorite band. Scott Stapp really knows how to rock. Libraries are really cool. Take a nap when you get home from school. Peanut butter jelly with no crust. With no crust.
So I think you can see that that's...
Hey there, how are ya? Can I fist your f***ing asshole then?
Whoa.
Dirty Sanchez, your face and is all over it. So you d***ed it. How about that?
What's going on?
On your face and f*** your cold.
Well, that turned ugly.
That took a turn for the worse.
I can't even hear the words to that song anymore. Now I just, in my mind, are all of the other parodies that have happened since then.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I hear.
I know. They sound like the last guys to get to the party, don't they? It's 6:39 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up on the program today. Plus, what's new in electronics for back to school? We'll talk to our friend Jim Berry from the Consumer Electronics Association. That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
And LaQuisha, which we're excited about.
Yeah. It's been a long time since we talked to her.
Star Magazine is reporting, and Ralph told us first, that Britney Spears in all her Meltdown glory has accused her mother, who you know she's very upset at.
Yes.
And I don't know if she was way upset with her mother before the rehab thing, or was that the straw that broke the camel's back?
That's the impression that I get, is that, yeah, she was forced into rehab by her mother. Britney has resented her mother ever since then, saying, and by the way, hasn't Britney proved everybody, you know, hasn't Britney proved that her mom was wrong? Because she clearly didn't know to go to rehab. She didn't need that because she's in great shape.
Of course, yeah.
Things couldn't
fine.
Be any going any smoother for her. Did you see this latest thing at the Standard Hotel in Los Angeles? Britney making out with some 20-year-old guy she just met that night, who ended, of course, selling the stories to the tabloids.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently you'd have heard a lot about Britney this week, about the meltdowns and about... you know, the car accident, and about how she calls her mom the bad lady. Apparently, as a revenge tactic, Kevin Federline has now slept with Britney Spears' mom. That's the story from Star Magazine. And we just look, as low down as Kevin Federline is, and as honked up as that whole family is, I still can't believe it's true. So we thought we'd go right to the source.
Are you kidding? I believe every bit of it.
And bring K-Fed back onto the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Kevin.
Wiki, 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 bing, bang, boom, Africa. Yeah.
So you're asking us to believe a lot if you slept. How old is Britney's mom?
I don't know, like 80-something.
No.
I don't think she's quite that old, but it doesn't seem like your type. It seems like if you're doing this, you're only doing it to get back at your ex-wife.
Nah, man. Have you seen Britney's mom? She's fly, dog. She got them big menopause milk bags.
She looks, I mean, she's not a hideously ugly mom, but I mean, she looks like a lady who would live next door to you, not somebody that a high-profile rap star like you could be interested in.
Look, man, you know what I'm saying? I was just playing just a tip, ghost riding my whip, don't flip the script. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
Word to your mother.
Bean, did you just say high-profile rapper? When you were referring to K-Fed?
Yeah. He is famous. You know, he may be famous for all the wrong reasons, but he could certainly pull better than Britney's mom. That's all I'm suggesting.
I'm just trying to be a stress reliever. You know what I'm saying? She came to me. It seemed like things were not going right for her. She was really worried about her daughter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what better way to try, kind of take her mind off things than a little love-making with Kevin Federline by the fire?
Now, did that happen after you had split up, or perhaps before as well?
You know what I'm saying? The sexual tension was always there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's always there. It happens a lot with Kevin Federline. You know what I'm saying? Because the sexual electricity that I emit 24-7, 365 days, like, yeah! It's like there's nothing women can do when they're in the same room with me. When they're in the general vicinity as Kevin Federline, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times they're just overwhelmed.
Sure.
And I could, every time I go to visit Britney's mom, you know what I'm saying? She'd come over to see the kids or whatever. We'd be looking at each other. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, damn, she's got a thick rump. You know what I'm saying? That she's got a nice bedunkadunk.
A thick rump.
She's got a nice bedunkadizunk. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, I'm already got, you know what I'm saying? I've already been tapping that DNA line.
Now, Lynn Spears, her mom, Britney's mom, says
that's
that
her name?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Says that you just referred to her as the bad lady?
I referred to her as thick rump.
Okay. She says that she's heartbroken and, quote, deeply hurt that her own daughter would so viciously accuse her of doing something so terrible.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, right now, the last thing she needs is scandal. You know what I'm saying? Because she's trying to look like the good lady, not the bad lady.
Right,
that's
sure.
That's what she doesn't want. She does not want to be the bad lady, like her grandson and her other grandson think. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what Britney's been feeding in her ears. weird in her eardrums. You know what
I'm
saying?
Sure.
So she's trying to do what she can to keep her image clean.
So you did sleep with Britney Spears' mom?
Yeah. Broke her off real proper life.
How many times?
You know, it's hard to say. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm so knee-deep in the poon 24 hours a day that I don't even... Sometimes it's just like, I forget. You know, they all run together. But I'm going to say... 18 times, roughly.
Okay.
Give or take 17.
So what?
Well, I don't know. Above zero. That's
above
all that
zero.
Really
okay.
matters, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all that really matters, right? Yeah. Now, you've written a new song about Lynn Spears. Is that what we understand here,
you know,
Kevin?
What I'm saying? Listen.
Okay.
Since this story has come to fruition.
Right.
Yeah.
I figured, why write a song just about her? I need to let them other players know, you know what I'm saying? I need to take them under my wing, kick science for a while, and let them know you can't reserve your beaver hunting for ladies under 22 years old. You can't be always looking for the chickadees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. There's something to be said for the older ladies is what you're telling us.
The ladies is like a bottle of fine wine or some Chris. You know what I'm saying? It can
Cristal?
Get better with age.
All right.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
All right.
So I wrote a little song about them ladies out there, the MILFs. You know what I'm saying?
The MILFs. Okay, what's the name of this?
MILF Does a Body Good.
Okay, fantastic. World premiere, KFED Music on K-Rock.
A lot of ladies think that the Fountain of Youth is some cream or some pill or exercise, but the Fountain of Youth is in between my thighs. Yeah, KFED knows age ain't nothing but a number, baby. One thing K-Fed learned back in the hood is that making love to MILFs does a body real good. I ain't no phony. I like my bitches old and bony with areolas big and round like slices of bologna. If you watch Golden Girls, say hey. Soccer moms, senior citizens, and divorcees. If your pubic hair's turning nice and gray, I relieve your pain better than a tuba Bengay. Don't want no whippersnappers or young chickadees. I want a middle-aged bitch with boobies dangling on her knees and her jeans all the way up above her belly button. Eating estrogen pills like a glutton, oh yeah.
Let's watch Murder, She Wrote, and F*** Angela Lansbury. Go to a PTA meeting and then we'll f***. Can I smoke weed at a PTA meeting? You can go to yoga and then we'll f***. You're gonna need to be flexible. Real flexible. MILF does a body good.
Yeah. Okay. Real smooth on the R&B tip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Sexy. All right, K-Fed. Well, good luck with that, I guess.
Yeah.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I'd like to give Kevin some mad props here, by the way. Not one time has he mentioned the major K-Rock announcement coming soon. Have you guys noticed that? It's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to, and neither are you.
I know, but you know how we know how you are, though.
I follow rules.
Usually you've got a cough in your throat by now about the big announcement coming Monday. That's all I'm saying.
I'm all about following the rules,
They didn't
man.
Tell
That's
me
you.
Not to say anything.
Yes, they did.
No, they didn't. So here it is. You ready?
Well, hold on.
Tomorrow,
we can't actually. No, no, we can't do that right now.
Bean will announce.
Yes.
Coming out of the closet.
That's correct. Oh, that's not true. There's nothing to do with what we're talking about. All right, 6:54
He is
Thursday
that,
morning.
It's not what we're talking about.
Right. It's just an added.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Have you seen Britney Spears sucking on those lollipops?
Yeah,
every
constantly.
Picture now,
lately.
Every picture
yeah.
now, she's sucking on a lollipop.
Yeah,
she loves those lollipops. Well, now we may know why.
Oh, well, I thought maybe she was trying to quit smoking or something, but she also seems to still be smoking.
It was a big deal made because she was sucking a lollipop and she got into a car after she left Hyde or one of those freaking clubs and tossed the lollipop to the guy she was with behind her in the back seat. And was like, ooh, she's sharing a lollipop with the dude. That's just gross.
Right.
Well, now we know it wasn't so much a lick on a lollipop as it was a hit.
What?
The National Enquirer says those lollipops are laced with drugs.
Yeah!
They say that Britney discovered marijuana-laced lollipops in Amsterdam 3 years ago. And loved them so much that she soon graduated to lollipops laced with a powerful narcotic. Fentanyl citrate. The lollipops apparently approved by the FDA to treat severe pain in cancer patients.
Dude. That's strong stuff, by the way.
Explains Britney's... late persistent craving for sweets.
Interesting.
Yeah. So when she wants to get high, she pulls out a lollipop.
This could be the new medical marijuana, it sounds like.
That's not what Willy Wonka had in mind at all.
It is not,
when he was whipping up those chocolates in the magical kingdom.
I'm just glad she has two kids under two. That's what I'm happy about.
New casting news. Jessica Alba has just been signed to star in a new movie with Mike Myers called The Love Guru. He'll play an American who was raised in India by a group of gurus and now uses his power to reconcile unhappy couples. In the film, he has to reconcile a hockey player and his wife. Jessica will play the owner of the hockey team, and the coach of the hockey team will be played by Vern Troyer.
Oh.
Mini-Me from Mike's Austin Powers movies.
So she owns the team, and he's the Mini-Me coach. Is the coach.
Mini-Me's the coach.
Okay. All right.
More casting news about the upcoming Star Trek film as well. By now, you know that Leonard Nimoy will be returning as Spock, and Zachary Quinto will be playing young Spock in the flick. He, of course, is Siler over there on Heroes.
Right. When does Heroes come back, by the way? It's just a side note. Do you know?
I'm guessing this fall.
I hope.
I know they're back in production, right. So I'm hoping it'll be this fall. Looks like J.J. Abrams is trying to talk his buddy Tom Cruise into doing a cameo role in the movie.
No.
As Captain Christopher Pike. For those of you Star Trek fans out there, you know Christopher Pike was the captain of the Enterprise before Kirk took over.
Yeah.
So maybe Cruise will stop by.
That'd be cool. I hope he does it.
Kirk.
See, I don't think it would be cool because...
Set face just a glib.
He's really gone past being able to disappear into a role. He's Tom Cruise walking onto the thing, you know? It's kind of takes you out of it.
How did, side note here for my sci-fi geek friend Ralph, how did Christopher Pike, Captain Pike, end up in the wheelchair? What happened to him, Ralph?
He was hurt.
Okay. I knew you'd know. Thank you.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, it was caught in some kind of blast. I can't remember. That was I haven't seen that episode in a long time.
All right.
But that originally, in the original pilot, Jeffrey Hunter played the captain of the Enterprise, this guy Christopher Pike, and the pilot didn't sell. And so they did another pilot with Shatner as the captain, and that was the
really?
One that sold. But they went back and took the first pilot and chopped it up and made an episode out of it as if it was a flashback to another time. So,
Boy, does that guy, has he regretted that his whole life, I bet. Look what Shatner went on to do.
Yeah, exactly. More casting news. Andy Garcia, John Cleese, and Alfred Molina have signed to co-star with Steve Martin in Pink Panther 2.
Yes.
Why?
Pink Panther 2.
Why?
Indeed.
That's what I'm asking. And Fallout Boy Pete Wentz.
Hello!
Has come forward with an admission that he told English magazine Q.
He's a homo.
Last month. Apparently he's been battling depression for 10 years.
Okay.
He says the condition stems from his parents separating on his 6th birthday.
What?
He says he's a manic depressive. He's been on medication since he was 18, and there's days he just can't get out of bed.
Oh,
now we know he's so emo.
Sure. Plus birds are dying.
Yeah,
plus,
don't forget that.
He's dating Ashley Simpson. That would depress anybody.
Yeah.
If you want to get away from being depressed, don't date Ashley Simpson. Take your own life.
Get him!
get him. Buzzkill!
Gwen Stefani's now saying that there was indeed some tension amongst the other members of No Doubt when her side project, her solo career, just kept going and going and going. Everybody was like looking around saying, hey, remember us? How about getting back together again?
Now, originally, she just said she was going to do it for a very short amount of time.
Right, and then she'd be right back. Yeah. She said she had no idea it was going to go on this long, but she is happy to announce they are set to release an album later this year. We can check out the new No Doubt music soon, and things are fine now amongst the band, so everyone relax.
I'm a little bit surprised, as talented as the rest of that group is, that they didn't do some of their own records or work with other people or something like that. It almost seems like they just sat around and waited for Gwen to get back.
I think they were busy. I just don't think it was, releasing their own music or doing any high-profile work.
Yeah. I think they just didn't realize they were going to have that much time, you know?
That's true, too. It's hard to make plans when you keep figuring, she'll be back in five minutes. And Amy Winehouse apparently has canceled her tour. She's been hospitalized due to exhaustion, according to her representatives.
That's the check-in process for rehab, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, she's got a song to sing while she's going
she
in, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So funny how she's saying she's not going to go, she's not going to go. I think we might find something different about that young lady. And this should be interesting reading. Kim Porter, the long-suffering on-again, off-again girlfriend of Sean P. Diddy Combs,
yep,
is coming clean now that the couple's relationship is officially over.
She told OK Magazine that the point came for her to just to move on. And she said it's been tough going out with Sean, especially during his years with Jennifer Lopez.
Is that a joke?
No.
Really?
She considers that time an embarrassment, a personal embarrassment for her. I guess she was with him, but he was busy being with J-Lo.
How about that?
Yeah. Rumors are now that he's with Sienna Miller, by the way.
That's not right.
So Kim says that she thinks they're just friends.
Oh, sure.
Even though she alludes to the fact that P. Diddy's not exactly known for his monogamy.
I think the point when she decided she needed out was this.
I know this is my second broadcast to y'all from the bathroom, but have you ever had to take a piss real bad? The feeling of just the release is something that truly can't be explained. It's almost as good as sex.
You know, he's a brother. With most brothers, you know how it is in this country. We got to struggle, man. You know what I'm saying?
What the hell's going on?
I have not. I sure thought that clip was done. Sorry.
Let's all play something at once, shall we?
Sure thought that one was done.
Makes more bang for the buck for the listener to get a lot of things all at once.
But we're on a very tight schedule, Ralph.
We don't have the time.
And Lindsay Lohan's pregnant.
Oh, no.
That would be a disaster.
If you believe OK Magazine, the dad is the married guy she had the romance with while she was in rehab. And when he left, he broke things off with her, which caused her to lose it and attempt suicide, according to the magazine. And that's why she took the news so poorly, is because she's actually with child. Just going to jail and having babies, just all the rage now. Everybody's doing
it. Thing.
Everybody's doing it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Eric Bana. Very talented actor from Australia who was in Munich and The Hulk. He's 39 years old today. Gillian Anderson, our pal from The X-Files, turns 39 as well. Melanie Griffith, Bean's favorite actress, is 50 years old.
He has an unnatural hatred for her, like Omar does with Rachel Bates.
He hates her a lot.
But you guys have seen her, right? You know who we're talking about.
Yes.
It's not unnatural how much I hate her. Everyone should hate her as much as that.
No, she's bad.
She's horrible.
We're not saying
she's
good.
No Rosie or Star Jones or something. You go off with the Melanie Griffith thing. That's like
she's just that horrible plastic surgery disaster on her face, and she's got that baby talk, lispy thing that she does, and she's not a good actress on top of it.
You got a hair trigger when it comes to Melanie Griffith.
He really does.
Just saying. He's about to go off.
Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors from The Big Lebowski, Tombstone, many, many other films. He was in The Hulk,
too. I hear Beef is What's for Dinner. Is that him?
Beef is What's for Dinner.
No, is he the voiceover guy? He is 63 years old today. And Whitney Houston. Oh, Whitney Houston. Not nearly as much fun now that she stopped doing drugs.
No.
Whitney, it's your birthday. Take advantage of it.
Have just a little something.
Do a big line.
Houston, we have a problem.
Lock yourself in the bathroom with some sex toys and an eight ball. Like the good old days. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chocolate rain.
Nope.
Some stay dry and others feel
don't have,
the pain. Chocolate rain.
Don't have time right now, Tate.
A baby born will die before the sin.
You want to go to the Kevin and Bean. Is it on the Kevin and Bean page or front page of KROQ.com right now, the new video?
Well, when you click on KROQ.com, there's a little tease for the upcoming announcement that we're going to make. And then you click through to the front page of KROQ.com. It's on there.
And there it is.
Okay. You'll find the video for Chocolate Rain, which is the internet sensation by Tay Zonday that's been viewed over 3 million times already. And you'll also find, and a lot of people have been asking for some video up there of the Shaolin Robot, our Kevin and Bean intern. She's up there singing her version, Shaolin Rain. You can see both of those at KROQ.com. It's 7-Eleven. You know, we've been wanting to get to this topic for a while, but it's back in the news now. Let's face it. People are going crazy with planning their weddings these days. I mean, and there's a whole industry of magazines and television shows and consultants and people planning. Weddings now take 2 years for people to get together, don't they?
Yeah, and brides-to-be are crazy. And
drive
all of their friends crazy because at work they're talking to somebody about the flowers and
it's a special day, Kevin.
Yeah, I know, whatever. So it's always funny to us when something that has been that well planned, and especially if it's a celebrity wedding where they probably spend $500,000 or $1 million on or something, when it falls apart at the last second. Because let's face it. I think there are a large majority of people who, even if the day before they think, oh, no, this is a bad idea, would never say anything because it's just too big of a nightmare.
Yes.
It's too embarrassing.
Everything's planned. Everything's coming. Everybody's bought him presents.
A lot of
that
people
would
feel
be
like,
so hard.
A lot of people feel like they don't have the choice of canceling, even though they feel like that's what they should
do. Yeah, they'll just get a divorce in 6 months.
Yeah.
And by the way, divorce way harder than the embarrassment of canceling your wedding and disappointing your friends and family.
But,
you should definitely cancel
gifts.
It.
Sure.
No, you're still supposed to send it back if the wedding doesn't happen or if you break up that fast. You're supposed to send
it back. 6 months? You don't get to keep them after 6 months?
But Ralph did a story a couple of days ago in the Showbiz beat about Usher and Tamika. I think that's her name.
That's right, Tamika Foster.
And they had a wedding planned. They did eventually go through and get married, but they had a wedding planned, and people were suspecting that maybe it's because she didn't want to sign a prenup or whatever the reason was. It was planned on a Saturday, and on Friday night, they were on the phone talking to friends and family saying, hey, you know that that wedding we were going to have tomorrow? You know the thing where you rented a tuxedo and
flew into town
and all that? Well, we're not exactly going to have the wedding tomorrow.
God.
What are you saying? Don't come. We're not having a wedding.
That takes gonads to call that off, by the way.
And by the way, it might be the right call in a lot of situations when people don't.
Right.
Because it does just end poorly. So we'd like to find out from our listeners. We're sure this has happened to a lot of you. Whether it was the night before, I think what we're looking for is the closest to the wedding ceremony.
That you called it off?
So the ultimate call would be during.
Yeah.
You
well,
know,
left at the altar is the all-time best, of course.
That's running from. But maybe the morning of, maybe the night before, maybe a week before, whatever the closest is to the wedding date where you actually called it off for good. That's what we're looking for.
And how much did it cost you is the other part of that equation. You know, I'm thinking about this Tamika Foster, who now is happily Mrs. Usher and is having his child and the whole deal. But she probably, you know, had visions that was going to be her Princess Diana day and she was going to be the focus of the world. And, you know, she lost that for whatever reason. We don't know whose fault it was or why that wedding fell apart. But she ended up getting married in a civil ceremony in a justice of the peace's office, basically, like 2 weeks later, you know, just wearing a little suit in front of a guy at a desk. I mean, what a bummer it is for her.
And by the way, if you set up for all to pay all that money, it's not like you get that back, right? I mean, you had to...
No, most of it you
wouldn't.
You
have to hire the place. You have to pay for all the stuff ahead of time.
And then you probably have a honeymoon all set up.
I can't imagine you get that money, a lot of that money back.
No, food, flowers, all that stuff. You're basically just kissing goodbye. Yeah, absolutely. That's all gone. But I think you're right. I think we're looking for people who got as close to the ceremony as possible and then called it off. We want to find out how much it cost you and find out what the repercussion was of the call. Why don't we start with Jesus? He's on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Jesus. Thanks for calling in. You're out there in East L.A. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
We are good. You called off a wedding?
Yeah, man. I had a big old thing set up and had family and guests come from Wisconsin, from freaking Kansas, Albuquerque. You know, the whole shebang, Dallas, and 3 days prior, 2 days prior to the wedding, I just couldn't handle it. I just called it off, bro. I said, you're evil, and I split.
What was going on? Why the cold feet, Jesus?
Just a lot of things, you know, intimidations and, you know, name-calling and a bunch of weird stuff.
So, but you're confident, you were confident 2 days before that it was a horrible idea. And now looking back on it, you think it was the right idea?
Actually, I regretted it. Actually, a couple of days later, I did have regrets.
You regretted calling it off?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love this lady dearly, and we did marry eventually, about 5 years after this.
That's our next question.
No kidding! Wow. You ended up getting married to her, so she forgave you for calling off the wedding.
She had to. I'm a good-looking guy, you know.
Woman does not have to forgive you for calling off her wedding, by the way.
Especially,
they'd rather be shot.
Especially because you're good-looking.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think she made the wrong decision. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus.
All right. You guys have a great day, man.
2 days before. Thank you very much. All right. That's the time to beat. It's got to be closer than 2 days to the wedding. And
want to talk to Bobby and Hammett? Yes. Or do we have to take a break first?
We'll take a break in just a second. I do want to talk to Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Bobby? Okay, we're going to wait till after the break. And we'll take a quick break and try and figure out where Bobby is, and then we'll come right back. 1-800-520-1067 is
the... We're talking about the new Mr. and Mrs. Usher. They finally did get married, but not until after they called off their very expensive wedding that had been planned for a long, long time. And those are the stories we're looking for right now. 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about people who got as close as possible to walking down the aisle and then made the tough call and decided, I'm out.
All right, Mike was the groom from Huntington Beach. Mike, good morning.
Morning, Lisa May. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Mike.
So you called off the wedding at the last minute.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking minutes.
Minutes?
Minutes. Cool. What
happened? I was at the church getting ready and got cold feet, and my best man offered to take me down south, so we bailed.
Down south meaning? meaning gay sex? What?
I was afraid that's what he meant, but he said Mexico.
Oh, Mexico.
So what was your problem? I mean, what is it that you thought of that day that you hadn't thought up in, you know, the previous year that you'd been engaged in planning a wedding?
Well, you know, I was young and naive, and I think that I knew it was wrong for a long time. It wasn't the right situation, but I knew that she loved me, and in certain ways I loved her, and I figured we'd make it work. And at the last minute, I just figured, you know what, this is stupid. It's not going to work, and it was time to go.
Well, then it actually does start building as you think, oh, maybe this is the wrong idea, but I don't really have to do anything about it now because I do have another 3 weeks, whatever, blah,
right.
blah. But when you get right to the wedding day, and then you didn't just leave. You went to Mexico.
I did for 2 weeks.
with a dude, by the way. Tell me, that wasn't all the talk.
Didn't want to come back and face the family for a while.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Did you end up marrying her?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right, last question for you, Mike. Last question for you. How much did it end up costing you guys to call off the wedding right then?
About
$30,000. Oh, $30,000.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
Let's. We found Bobby. She's in Hammett. She's on line 7. Let's get the woman's perspective. Same situation at the church in the dress. Bobby, you got that close and then called it off?
Yeah, we were right there. It's time for me to walk down the aisle. And my best friend asked me one more time, are you sure you want to do this? And I looked at her and I thought about it and I said no. So we left, took a cab to the casino where we were staying, and had a few drinks and waited for my family to find us.
So you didn't, did you tell them?
No, we just left.
That's the part that amazes me.
So you're saying,
tell anyone.
You're saying everybody dressed up in tuxes and everything else just waited in the church, and then they started wondering where you were. Then they started kind of looking around, and everybody was like, I don't know, but we should wait. It's a wedding. They probably waited for almost an hour before they left.
Yes. And I'm saying, like, people flew in. I mean, it's Vegas, but they flew in from Washington. They flew in from Utah to come to our wedding. My family drove from the O.C., we did the flowers, the dress, the bridesmaid, everything. And I
Bobby, so you're not just a dick to your fiancé. You're a dick to everyone you know at that point.
I was a total dick. But thank God, because he's in jail now, and he doesn't pay for his kid, and it was like the worst part of my life.
Well, you made the right decision. That's not the point. The point is you don't want to be in the dress and have everyone there when you make it.
Right, no, exactly.
Bobby, how much money did you spend on it?
Probably $5,000, if that, it was Vegas.
That's not bad. Okay.
It's Vegas. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's a lot, but it's not like $30,000.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, my dear. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Bobby.
I probably should have called off some of my weddings at the last minute. I guess in retrospect, as I look back on it, maybe I could have made a better call.
We've counted 5 between the two of us.
Yeah, that we probably should have called off.
Crazy.
Hey, let's talk to Rob, line 1. He's in L.A. Rob has done it not once but twice, ladies and gentlemen. How about now? That's a man right there.
Rob?
Lisa, gentlemen, hello.
Hi, Rob. I would never go to an wedding if you invited me.
You
now.
Called off a wedding 2 different times.
Yeah, well.
Same person? Lisa,
pardon me?
Same person?
Yeah, same person. 2
days apart. What's that?
2 days apart. What we did was I canceled it the morning of, and then we regrouped and decided we were going to do it, and the same issues exploded. And
2 days later, you called it off again.
What was your big issue, Rob?
Well, I don't want to get too particular and criticize her on the radio, but, you know, I had issues with her, and, you know, you get down to the last minute, and things haven't been resolved, and, you know, people's true colors come out, and it exploded.
Right. And
well,
could...
your true colors certainly came out at the last minute, I'll tell you that.
No, but I could see that. But then in the 2 days when you're deciding to do it again, I mean, foremost in my mind is, I'm never going to, you know, cancel the last second again. So if I'm going to agree to get married this time, I'm going to have to go through with it.
Yeah.
And then you didn't.
Not Rob.
Yeah.
Very nice.
All right, Rob, thank you for the call. Why don't we close with Armone from Ontario, who's got a little bit of a twist on calling it off just before you say I do. Armone, good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's your story?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
My story is I went to a buddy's wedding and the church, everything went good. And during the reception, the groom was walking behind the bride and the bride's mom and heard them talking about his mom, which is the mother-in-law, and just got up on stage and said, you know what, everybody... that's on the bright side. Get the F out of here. And my side say, because I paid a lot of money, we're going to have a party. And then the following Monday, he went and got a divorce.
So he announced that he wanted a divorce minutes after the marriage.
Yeah, pretty much.
At the reception.
Pretty much.
What happened between the time they said I do and kissed to the time they cut the wedding cake? I mean, how much weight could she have gained in that short of time?
No, she was talking about his mom.
Yeah, she started just bad-mouthing his mom, talking about what she's going to do, what plan she has. Because they were going to live together, but, you know, I guess she was changing her mind and didn't tell her until the last, you know, he just overheard it, you know, and
wow.
Just got up on stage and said, you know what, everybody get the hell out of here.
You know, the people at that wedding, as tragic as it was for your friend and his wife, the people at that wedding still talk about how that was the coolest reception they ever went to.
It's probably true.
They have to, right?
Oh, we had a good time. I mean, I don't know about the bride side, but the groom side party till about 4 a.m.
I think we all know about the bride side. That was miserable for them.
That's good times right there.
You're not going to believe this because it's impossible to tell, but that was Serge Tankian.
No way.
You're kidding.
It was.
The guy from System of a Down, it sounds so different.
And I know it doesn't sound anything like System, and that's why I say I have to tell people. That's actually Serge by himself doing a solo thing.
Son of a gun.
Oh, yeah. I see. Archer. Why is he yelling at us so much? I don't even know anyone in Turkey. It's not even like I can call somebody. You know what I mean? What am I supposed to do?
I don't know.
It's 7:40 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jim Berry, our pal from the Consumer Electronics Association, with new back-to-school gadgets coming up at the 8 o'clock hour. Also, Flea from the Chili Peppers will be here. Right now, though, very excited, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll agree it's been far too long since we've had our next guest on the show. Please welcome LaQuisha back to the Kevin and Bean program.
Yes, LaQuisha.
Come on, Kevin and Bean.
Great to hear your voice again.
I'm sorry. Who was that song by?
Serge Tankian.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was craptacular.
He's the lead singer of System of a Down.
Yeah, no wonder nobody's listening to your station.
Come on, LaQuisha. Well, you don't like anything we play.
Woo!
They are a very popular band, System of a Down, but they're not for everybody.
In
here.
This country?
Glendale. Glendale, they're probably.
Wow.
Yes, in this
country. So, LaQuisha, what you usually do is take us through some TV show that you've discovered, some gem on TV that we're not watching,
That's right. You
bring us up to speed. And I guess you called Lightning this week. You said you got something else you're obsessed with.
I said, Lightning, you got to be watching The Pickup Artist on VH1.
Oh, yes. This is the one where they claim that it's the world's most successful guy?
It is the world's most successful pickup artist, or POA, as he calls himself.
No.
That's the kind of person we're dealing with.
Oh, no.
This guy looks like he's an extra from Blade Runner or something. got a like a floor length leopard skin coat and wearing a cowboy hat and guy liner on. And he is a POA. He's a POS is what he is.
No kidding.
Anyway, let me introduce you to the man himself.
Meet the world's most successful pickup artist. A man who goes by only one name.
Mystery.
Mystery. Mystery make Chris Angel look like George Clooney.
Okay, wait a minute. Mystery's kidding about calling himself Mystery,
no,
right?
Mystery.
That's his name.
That's his name.
Okay.
Yeah, should have called him Dork. Anyway, Mystery's going to take 8 guys who have no luck with women, half of them are virgins, and teach them how to become POAs.
Sure.
Because these guys need some help, and they all sent in their audition tapes to the show, and that's how they chose them. And this guy here, he thinks he got what it takes. He just needs himself a coach.
Oh, my God.
You need to be coached, just like I have a boxing trainer, just like I got taught how to break dance.
Yeah, if you got someone to teach you how to break dance in 2007, you got bigger problems than not getting laid, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's part of the reason why you're not getting the ladies. You're busy popping and locking. You can't believe these fellas. They got all kinds of people. They got this Indian guy, Pradeep. His name is Pradeep.
Right. All right.
And he's too chatty with the ladies.
I don't know what to do when I'm talking to women. And when I do, I just keep talking and talking and talking, and I don't know when to stop. The entire world doesn't need to know that, you know, I f***ed my pants and that I'm uncircumcised.
What?
Oh, Lord.
What? Yeah, Pradeep poops in his pants.
Let's let him remain a virgin if that's possible.
So we got a break dancer and a guy who poops his pants.
Well, the good thing is Mystery is not going to teach him anything, so they'll still
Mystery,
be.
Mystery, he will. He'll teach him to be a master POA. And one of the other guys, Joe W., he got his own world of hurt.
I'm Joe. I'm 24, and I'm from Minnesota. Women tend to think I'm gay on first impression. 2 weeks later, I'll maybe make a move and be like, you want to get together? And they'll say, you're not gay.
Yeah, Joe, it's not just women who get the impression you're gay. Trust me. It's across the board. Children, old people, dogs.
All that guy needs to do is just accept his own nature and he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. So the eight people, the eight guys, they move into the house in Austin, Texas. And then they get a conference call from Mystery, because you don't get to meet Mystery right away. It's like the Wizard of Oz. First you got to hear the voice coming, well, and then you make an appointment, and then the big door opens, and then you meet Mystery.
Mystery is mysterious.
He is mysterious.
Yes.
By definition. And the call comes over the loudspeaker for the boys in the house.
The next 8 weeks will be the most grueling weeks of your life. You'll be pushed beyond your limits and forced to face demons you've been hiding for a very long time. If that's too much for you, it's not too late to back out.
They're not going to Fallujah.
What the hell?
They're not climbing Mount Everest.
I'd say you're too much for me. I am leaving.
The eight most grueling weeks of your life. They're not learning to swallow swords. Just going to talk to women. Mystery, relax, Mystery.
He's uptight, really, more than he's mysterious.
Finally, they get to meet Mystery in person. And Mystery looked like he just got filming a sequel for Mad Max or something, the way he dressed. He's wearing a beanie, and then he's got like old-fashioned racing goggles on top of his head. I'm not kidding you. That's how the boy dresses.
That's awesome.
And he's got chains and rings everywhere, and he looked like a tool. And, well, if you think Mystery's bad, you got to meet his two wingmen that will also help teach these guys.
For those of you who do not yet know me, my name is Eric. They call me Mystery. Everyone, this is James, a.k.a. Matador. On my left here, this is Justin, also known as J-Dog. We have literally traveled the world teaching scores of men what their dads never taught them.
How to dress like an a-hole. You got Mystery and his wingman Matador and J-Dog.
This is unbelievable.
LaQuisha, why do they need secret agent names? It's not the Bourne ultimatum, right? They're just walking into a nightclub.
This crap may work in Austin, Texas, but these three go to a club Los Angeles, they're going to get their ass handed to them.
And rightfully so.
They're going to get beat down. So the first exercise is they had this nightclub all hooked up with a security cameras, secret cameras, and they send these eight guys in there to try to pick up women. Now, it's like, why are you wasting my time on this show? It's only an hour long, this show. We know they can't do it, so why are we doing this fruitless exercise? And I felt bad for this one guy, Joe. He was bad. He's about 400 pounds.
Oh.
He got nothing going on, and it gets even worse.
I'm really fun to be around, but my eye droops down a little bit, and it looks kind of odd. I have a fake tooth, my front tooth here, and it kind of glows odd in black lights.
Oh, Joe, 400 pounds, got a droopy eye and a glowing tooth.
Who's got a glow-in-the-dark tooth?
He's got no chance. Even Mystery can't solve him. So they go out there into the club, and Mystery and J-Dog and Matador watch on the cameras and critique their performances while they're doing it. And here's how you know you're dealing with somebody who's full of crap. Here's how you know you're dealing with somebody who's a charlatan, who's a con man. Because they make up technical jargon for regular words that don't need it.
No, no.
He's got to have his own way of speaking.
Sure.
Like this, for example.
He's totally ignoring her friend.
Right.
He does not.
He's going to do the let's go to the bathroom in a second.
He doesn't recognize that what he actually approached was known as a two-set.
There's two girls talking to each other. The guy walks up to him and starts talking. Oh, that's what's known as a two-set. Shut up. Shut up, Mystery.
I want to punch Mystery, I want to punch Matador, and I want to punch J-Dog.
Oh, that's what's known as a two-set. You just made up that for no goddamn good reason. Why can't you say, oh, he went to talk to two girls instead of one? No, he had a two-set.
That's what's known as a two-set.
And then this time he says that a conversation goes on too long. But he can't say conversation because they got a term for that.
He needs to be saying something interesting about himself at this point.
How much do you cost for a guy's haircut? How much?
following the thread for far too long, and you've got the fake smile.
The thread went on too long.
Oh, dear.
Not the conversation, the thread.
Right.
And then one guy screws up by doing something that's just unforgivable.
Yeah, I'm Scott. You want me?
He opened with name exchange, which does not happen until a later phase.
Until some other time. That's not now. Name exchange.
The name exchange.
Well, Matador and J-Dog and Mystery, they pull the guys out and they say, you sit down and watch these cameras. You watch us.
My friends and I are going to head in now and show you how it's done. So get yourselves comfortable. It's time for us to play.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time for us now.
Oh,
we're going to go in our spacesuits and our makeup and our hairdos and show you how it's done. And you know what? Maybe they got something. Because listen to the line. Listen very carefully to the line Matador gives this girl. It may be the coolest thing you ever heard.
Man, this guy is a freaking genius. He's a diabolical genius.
You know, the first number that pops in your head between 1 and 4 now. Don't say it.
He has tools.
He is a tool.
What did he say?
He said, pick a number between 1 and 4, the first one to come into your head, and don't tell me. That was his opening line to a woman.
What is he, Chris Angel?
That's not even a trick. It's nothing. What kind of line is that?
Pick a line between
pick
one
a number
before 1 and 4.
Here, pull my finger. Here, guess how much I weigh. Here, let me cover up your eyes. What color is my shirt?
What is it, like a
carnival barker or what? Oh, my Lord.
Did it work?
No, it don't work. This is all a sham. At the end, though, Mystery laid down the law.
Now, I haven't taught you anything yet, so for that reason, there will be no eliminations yet. So for now, you're all safe. Right now, who you are today dies here.
Along with the ratings for this show.
No way. This is the best show ever.
Yeah.
I love that.
He's going to eliminate one loser a week until they come up with the master pickup artist.
Now, LaQuisha, when the guys went back into the room, did the new guys go, pick a number between 1 and 4?
No, they said, you're a mad genius.
And you're our teacher?
You're a genius, Mystery and Matador and J-Dog.
Wow.
Well, this is what we needed, is something on television that makes men look worse. So thanks for bringing this one to our attention, LaQuisha.
I think someone should train Mystery to be a TV host artist. That's what he needs.
That's a hell of a show. Thank you, LaQuisha.
Bye now.
First time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want to be married in secret, not tell anyone. It's a new Spice Girls song.
No, I never heard that one.
Melanie B, who, of course, is making a public spectacle of herself, talking to anyone who will listen about the fact that Eddie Murphy fathered her baby and then isn't coughing up any cash. Turns out she was secretly married in June.
Oh.
Married movie producer Stephen Belafonte, who produced Thank You for Smoking, in Las Vegas on June 6th. This is the first anyone has heard about this. She's been keeping it under wraps. No word on whether it will affect her lawsuit against Eddie Murphy or not, but it's interesting that she thought she needed to keep it a secret. Ron Jeremy's currently on tour.
Ooh.
Porn star Ron Jeremy. He is touring with a guy named Craig Gross, who is the pastor for XXXChurch.com. Are you familiar with this group? It's an anti-porn organization.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. They're an anti-porn organization. Ron and Craig are on tour debating about the pros and cons of pornography.
Debating?
Yes. I don't think debating really is what Ron's talents are. I think they're more just, you know,
sure,
self-fellatio and, you know, sex movies.
Although he is an enthusiastic defender of his industry, though.
He is, that's for sure. Craig's position is that porn demeans women and damages relationships. Ron's position is, who cares about women?
That's not his position.
No, it's not his position at all, no. He says that female porn stars make lots of money, are in charge of their own companies, often is the case, and it's very empowering for women. That's Ron's position. So I'd like to see that. I think that would be an entertaining debate.
I would,
debate.
Too.
Zac Efron.
Oh! Who's that?
He's the star of High School Musical 1 and 2.
Oh, stop with the bells then.
And he's in Hairspray.
Can also be seen currently in Hairspray.
Psycho Mike, have you seen his Rolling Stone cover yet?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
So nice.
It's Zach lifting up his t-shirt, showing off his abs.
His tummy parts are just so muscular.
Do you mind
Wow.
I think there were five bells. Do you mind if I...
Oh, no, take them back, sure.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you?
All right.
Zach was dating Vanessa Hudgens.
Oh, a tissue.
From High School Musical, but apparently, according to Star Magazine, is currently dating Nikki Blonsky.
No.
Who is
no.
his co-star in Hairspray.
I doubt
nope.
that.
Who weighs in at about 250.
Nope.
I hope that's true, then.
I think it's...
That girl's needs love, too.
I think it's yes, and then also she's his beard.
How dare
no
you?
No one's ever been gayer than this kid, by
Zach
the way.
Is
no
very heterosexual.
Ever been gayer than
oh,
Zach
how dare Alfred. You? He's so heterosexual.
He makes well he makes bells on his shoes. He is gay.
He makes Clay Aiken
yeah.
look like
Tito
I am Ortiz.
Deeply offended by this.
You know what? You know what he is?
It's top notch gay.
Yeah, top notch.
Don't come at my Zach like that.
My Zach.
By the way, 1 week from tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, world premiere of High School Musical 2. I just want to remind everybody, next Friday
Listen,
night.
I know that's funny and all, but you're not looking forward to it. I don't believe it, so stop acting like it.
Well, we're having a party at my house, a viewing party, so everyone's invited.
A party in your pants.
All right, listen, if everyone's invited, then we'll be there.
I don't mean everyone,
that's
you know,
not
technically everyone. I
who, just do you, who do you mean then? Who's actually invited? We say everyone.
I mean none of you.
You mean no I mean one. None of you.
Is that the weekend Dave's going to be there?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, the king will be there. The king will be at the party. Yeah, Dave's absolutely.
I'm not doing that, stupid. I'm not watching that with him. I'm going to go someplace else.
I don't think he wanted to tell Bean that.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of a... Dave's like, yeah, okay, good idea, and then he's going to ditch him.
He's going to drill Donna in the back bedroom.
Yes.
Yes. He's going to go drilling for Donna while Bean is watching a gay show.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome,
you're
guys.
The biggest Fruit Loop in the box, Bean. Did you know that?
I'm just saying, Zach Efron.
Fruit Loop.
I'm no Mo. He's a good-looking
please.
Kid. That's
you
all
are,
I'm saying is he's a good-looking kid.
Toucan Sam, king of the Fruit Loops. Today's celebrity
you're
birthdays.
A homo.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors, Big Lebowski, Tombstone, Hulk, other films that he was in. 63 years old today. Melanie Griffith, Bean's favorite actress, is 50 years old today.
Don't get me started on her.
Whitney Houston. Remember when her and Bobby were still a couple and she was on drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times.
Simpler, better times. she's 44 years old today. Gillian Anderson from X-Files is 39. You're right there. Big sigh.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
And Eric Bana from Munich is 39 years old today. What's the matter, little buddy? You okay?
He finds him attractive. What? Come on. What with Bean and Mike? What the hell's going on with this show?
I'm a little pouty that you come at me about Zach like that. How can you not love Zach? Yes. He rules. He just rules. That's all I'm saying.
Boy, that was really gay.
You know what's so funny? As I listen to you, I do think to myself, you are so f***ing gay.
Yeah.
Back to you, Ralph.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this beat.
This life is more than just a read-through. Here I go.
I sure wish you guys would do some songs we could play.
That'd be cool. No kidding. Jeez, what's up with that? Ladies and gentlemen, from your Red Hot Chili Peppers, it's Flea, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Kirk. Good morning, Flea.
Good morning. More applause, please. Good for my ego.
Sorry.
Keep it
and
up.
With Flea, I understand you're dating a new woman that you brought in with you here this morning. Please introduce us to your new girlfriend, Melissa.
Yeah, I'm actually having a terribly sordid affair with Kevin's wife, Melissa.
Well, this is a sad way for everybody to find out about it is right here on the radio.
Me especially, don't you think?
Exactly.
But I have good taste, I think.
Well, I think you've upgraded. I'll tell you that, Melissa. There's no question about that.
There's no question about that.
It's been going on for years, and we thought if we just did this radio show today under the guise of being helpful, charitable people,
sure.
that no one would suspect it.
Yes.
Sure.
Good call.
Now, we'll talk about, in just a moment, we'll talk about why Melissa's here today, because you've heard us speak of the Friends and Helpers program before, and it is back in full effect in time for the new school year. We'll get to that in just 1 second, but I have to ask Flea a couple things since the last time we talked to you. Number one, Al Gore is the one who talked you guys into doing the Live Earth show. He came up to you and asked you at the Grammys. That's a true story how that happened?
That's very true, and it's kind of interesting because I saw Al Gore on television one time, and he was giving a speech about, or maybe perhaps it was in his movie, In Inconvenient Truth, he was talking about.
The slideshow?
Yeah, the slideshow. He was talking about the necessity of saving the environment and stopping global warming, and he was talking about, I guess, well, he has a child who had a bad accident once and was near death, and he was holding onto his kid's finger while the kid was in bed, and he gave this whole speech, this real tearjerker, heartfelt speech about it. He was holding his kid's finger going, thinking, like, don't die.
Right.
And, you know, it's a powerful speech, no doubt. But I heard him say it, and then he came backstage, and he was to convince us. He gave us the exact same speech.
Like, the same story?
Yeah, the same story. Back when I was thinking, God, I knew in my head that, God, this is like, you know, he's a politician. He has this trick. He reaches back. Okay, let me grab out speech 13B. It's
right.
Perfect for right now. And I knew he was doing it, but still I was listening, and I was, like, tearing up, and I'm listening. We'll do it. You know, because for us it meant, like, being in three countries within 20 hours to do it. It was crazy.
Which you guys love.
Oh, yeah.
For some weird reason.
Nothing more I like to not sleeping and being on a plane and abusing myself into a little pulp of a man.
Do you feel good in retrospect having played that show, though? I mean, not just because it got you and your music again in front of a worldwide audience, but do you feel like it made some sort of a difference being there that day?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'd swim through a river of diarrhea to do the littlest thing to help. If one person, you know, is going to live a more conscious life in terms of helping the environment, then, you know, that's important.
You did swim through a river of diarrhea, or you would?
I swimmed up my home pool.
You did?
Yeah. And I promised anyone that would buy energy-efficient appliances, I would jump in it every morning.
Now, tell me about the crazy new car that you're trying to get.
What, the Matchbox car?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
The Tesla.
Oh, I'm not here to promote automobiles this morning.
But, I mean, isn't it? I mean, this kind of is in the same topic that we're talking about.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
an energy-conscious car, right?
Yeah. No, I'm all for, you know, if you can have solar power and have an electric car and charge it with solar power, you're not polluting and you're taking energy from a, you know, an alternative, at this point anyway, kind of infinite source of energy. So that's cool. But at the same time, it's kind of a highfalutin car that's really expensive. So,
Does Al call you now on a daily basis and just say, hey, Al Gore here?
He's like,
you changing those light bulbs?
He's knocking on my door in the morning. I can't get rid of the guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now, speaking of helping, and this is kind of brings us around full circle, you are here today to lend a celebrity factor to a very important cause. How did you and Flea get roped into this together?
Well, remember Grammy time. They were rehearsing on a Friday night, and my wife and I went down there to interview Flea, and he sat, and you know, I'm always a little like, I don't want to take up too much time. I know musicians, they do a lot of interviews, they've heard all the questions, they probably aren't interested in spending that much time. So I was kind of trying to kind of power through it, and Flea was just like, nah, take your time, we're having a good time, and he was answering questions. He was so, like, interested, almost like he cared what I had to say, which is not normal at all.
He just doesn't know you well enough.
Flea,
that's why.
Is the real deal. I get emails from Flea that say, I'm in Haiti. The children and their spirits are so beautiful. I wish you could see it.
So she emails him back and says, why are you in Haiti? Are you guys playing in Haiti?
And he says, no, I just really wanted to check out the people. Because that's who Flea is. Flea is truly the real deal. He doesn't know he's a rock star, and he's a really good man.
So, yeah, so we told him
about. So, of course, I went for him.
We told him about the charity, and the Friends and Helpers is a charity that my wife and I started, mainly my wife, about 99%. And it's for abused women and children. And all of the different charities that are out there, whether it be for multiple sclerosis or whatever the disease, cancer, they all have these big dinners and these big galas and the fundraisers and stuff. But abused women and children is kind of, it's such a downer. It's such a bummer that there's no.
There aren't many charities.
There's no dinners out there. There's no star-studded
events. There's no
ribbon
that somebody's wearing to call attention to that problem.
No,
I don't have a ribbon.
It's really kind of – it's difficult. And so my wife has built this thing up over the years, and we've come to the K-Rock audience a few times before, and now it's back to school time.
Mm-hmm. And we are in the crunch.
And Flea was nice enough to come in and talk about that, which I think is very cool, Flea. So thank you very much for that.
And he's wearing a Lakers sweatshirt, of course.
Of course.
Please note that, people.
Yeah, of course.
All right, what's the deal with back to school? Why is this a significant time for Friends and Helpers?
Well, why it's significant is that when kids go back to school, they have to have a backpack filled with new school supplies, and that's mandatory. And if you are an abused child, fitting in is really, really important. And you have to have these items. And if you are in a situation where you don't have anything, we've got to get these items to you. So we're really on a time crunch, and we really need help.
And the people that we try to focus on are the people who have had abuse problems, and they've gone to shelters to get help, to get, you know, counseling and all that kind of stuff. And they don't have a penny to their name, a lot of them, because they just have to run.
And we still are working in New Orleans as well. But I'll let Flea tell you how you can go do it. And we need you to do it today. So I know a lot of K-Rock people spend a lot of time relaxing, let's say, in front of the TV.
Oh, I thought you were suggesting relaxing in front of the bong. I thought that's where you were going with that.
I was suggesting in front of the bong, but I didn't want to say that. But I'll let Flea tell you how you can go and do that. You know where that is on your sheet?
Yeah, well, these relaxers, you know, when I was in high school and I used to relax, it's become a lot more high tech these days, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, you have these vaporizers that look like you're about to do a lunar landing.
It's gotten complex. You know, you're right.
It's a whole nother ball of wax. But anyways, I found from experience that kids who have been abused or have been in and out of foster homes or, you know, have in general having a hard time, that a little help really goes a long way. And it's something that people can take, you know, a small amount of money or a small amount of time and really make a difference in someone's life and give someone a much help them with their sense of self and their ability to, you know, to learn and to be a happy, productive person. And certainly going to school with school supplies would be one of those things that could really, really help. And the things that friends and helpers need to distribute to these kids who need this stuff, they need backpacks and three-wing binders and filler paper and calculators and pens and art supplies and pencil pouches and folders and rulers and scissors.
Pocket knives.
Pocket knives.
Keep the knives out of school.
We took that off. I'm sorry. I was not paying attention.
You can go to friendsandhelpers.org or fnh.org, and it'll take you right to our Target wish list. And you know that you can go to Target, and for a dime, you can buy stuff, you guys. A dime. I mean, now I know everybody has a dime. And it's really easy. The website takes you right to it. We really need paper.
Okay.
And you can buy paper for $5. You can buy so much paper.
And the thing that I'm proudest of, and this is, and then we'll wrap this up and we'll talk to Flea about, I don't know, the Lakers and the Red Hot Chili Peppers in the next break. But the thing that I'm proudest of is that my wife has figured out a way to do this so that none of the money that people donate gets taken up with overhead and the running of the charity and stuff like that. So if you spend $5 on paper, you'll get $5 worth of paper going to a child that really needs it.
And, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many charitable organizations that are so caught up in the administrative costs and all the things they need to run their organization that they end up not, you know, people in the organization getting paid, the charity ends up getting nothing, you know, and operating at a low overhead is
I've always been fascinated by this because I found out by starting the foundation is that the IRS demands that only 5% of the money raised go to the people that you raised it for. 95% can be, you know, overhead or costs or anything else. 5% is all they do.
I'm going to start a charity, man. That sounds pretty good.
Isn't that horrible?
And, you know, a lot of celebrities do that, by the way, for tax breaks. But I want to just mention this to you. It's friendsandhelpers.org or fnh.org for you stoners. And, you know, or you could just give a Target gift card. And it's really easy. And to make somebody feel good himself is important. And here's the other fun thing, kids. Our beloved Kevin will be at Galpin Autosports at Roscoe and the 405 this Sunday from 1 to 3 because our wonderful friends at Galpin and Bo Bachman once again has supported us. And you can bring as many school supplies as you can carry, and
awesome.
You can come down and you can lick Kevin. You
easy.
Can hit
hey,
him.
Hey, easy with that.
You can do whatever you want. And
of course, 1 to 3 this Sunday, right? This Sunday at Galpin.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, we have all that information here at krock.com for folks who want to call. But what's worth
it? And we're on the website, too, I believe, right?
There's a link at krock.com, too, at the Kevin and Bean page for the friends and helpers and for the Target wish list. So you can just go buy stuff and send it.
And what I love, to reiterate what Flea said before the break here, is that so much of this stuff is so cheap and adds up so fast. I mean, literally, if you're listening right now and you have a dollar, you can donate a dollar. I mean, that will go toward the cause. How many backpacks are you trying to put together for kids going back to school here in L.A. this semester?
L.A. and Orange County, New Orleans. We are doing 6,000, and I can honestly tell you that Kevin's in my living room looks like Staples Center.
So if you know where we live, there's a lot of supplies there you can steal right now because neither of us are home.
And, you know, it's true that a dime could help. You could get a pack of crayons and send it to a dime, so, you know, with a dime and send the pack of crayons in. But you could also go out and buy a couple of notebooks and a few sheaths of paper and some art supplies and rulers for $10.
Yep. Yeah.
And even better. It'd help a lot more. So you could send a dime, that'd be great, but you'd still be a cheapskate. You could spend $10 and be a decent human being. So come on now.
Go to KRock.com.
We are showing that the lowest common denominator does help, but come on now.
Good point.
It's 2007 here. Jesus.
Go to KRock.com. Look at the link of the Kevin and Bean page or go to Target.com or friendsandhelpers.org. We'll take a quick break. Come back more with our friend Flea after this on the world-famous KRock.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers in the studio. We do have to ask you some Red Hot Chili Peppers questions. Like, you're about done touring?
I can field those questions.
Okay. You're about finished touring, have you been?
Yeah, we've been going for about 18 months, and we're wrapping it up. I'm considering us done.
Yeah.
Because I've been excited about being done. Sure. We have a week. We're doing a week in Europe in a couple of weeks, and then we're done. And it's been pretty amazing, you know. In a lot of ways, it's, you know, going on tour for such a long time is such a grueling, soul crushing,
right,
you know, life sucking experience,
right,
you know. And in another way, it's like the most exciting, you know, purposeful expression of life. That's the greatest thing ever, to go around and try to make people happy and to play music that you love playing more than anything else. But
Could have predicted, by the way, 20 years ago that you'd be making, you know, musically, you'd be making your best records right now and also your most successful, your best selling records right now in the 21st century? I mean, it's crazy the way your career ended up, isn't it?
It's
not over.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying the way it ended up, the way we got to where we are today. I think certainly didn't see this coming.
Check it.
Things have really ended up. life is crazy, man. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, who would have thunk?
How do you stay? It seems like some bands do get crushed. Their souls do get crushed on the road, and they break up or whatever, and they just can't take it. How do you guys tour for 18 months?
It's hard.
But you're still fine. Not fine. You're tired, but you're fine.
No, I'm vibrant. I'm a stallion. I'm a
stud.
Right,
that's what I meant. Yeah, a stud.
No, I'm actually just a little wimp. But, but, you know, really the thing with us that keeps us going and it makes us do all the things that we do is just we just love music, you know, and all the other things the things that are really hard, the traveling, all the rock star stuff, all the
understanding what John's talking about.
Yeah, I know. I know what
all those
he's
hard things.
About.
Flea talks John.
Oh, you speak John? I didn't know that.
I speak John very well. It's my favorite language.
Yeah.
It's really just loving the music and really caring. Like it for us, playing the music is going to such a beautiful place and really the source of for us, like the source of our hearts, you know. So to go and do that is the most beautiful thing, and it's such an infinite thing and such a place where we can keep learning and growing as people that is the thing that keeps us doing it and it keeps us, you know, keeps our chins up in times when, you know, you could easily, you know, let your chin drop down to.
Sure.
And what are the plans with wrapping up touring, taking a break, thinking of another CD? How is that all working out, or have you even gotten to?
Yeah, right now we're going to take some time off and let things cool out for a while, then figure out what we're going to do.
But, what do you do when you take time off and just let things cool off?
Well,
seems like without that hectic schedule, you would for a couple of days it would be great, and then you would start feeling like you need to.
Yeah, I got lots of stuff to do.
You do, okay.
I got lots of stuff to do. Yeah, I'm working on music all the time. I'm a dad. I play golf. I play chess.
You write your blog for the Lakers?
I do my blog for the Lakers. I'm a Laker fanatic, weirdo, hardcore.
I'm fascinated by that, and I wanted to bring up a letter that you wrote, an open letter to Kobe Bryant about a month ago.
Well, are you going to bring out the actual letter or the bastardized version of it? Can I say bastardized?
You can.
Four second delay.
No, that's that's a legit word.
No,
that's
I have the whole letter, but it is almost 4 pages long, so you're going to have to.
Yeah, I know,
summarize.
But just the LA Times kind of made fun of me.
Did they? Okay.
And that's okay. I mean, I deserve to be made fun of. My Laker fandom. I remember one point, like, with my wife. Well, we're not actually married, but I consider her my wife.
Right.
Unless you're doing with her what I'm doing with Melissa. No,
in which case, we just trade?
But at one point, I think she was just pregnant. We're really in love. And the game on, it was Christmas Day. It was the first time the Lakers and the Heat played on Christmas Day after Shaq left.
I remember that, yeah.
And I was watching the game, and I'm like, I'm freaking out. You know, I jumped up. I ran up to the TV. I'm yelling. I'm screaming. I'm just going crazy. I'm like shouting abuses at Shaq. I'm going crazy. And I'm really losing it. And I'm so not even – the world doesn't exist. I'm just watching a game. And I kind of look over to the couch behind my head, and I see my wife, and she's looking at me with this, like, horrified look on her face.
Like who am I connected to?
Yeah, like, what am I getting into? This guy, like, you know, just really, like, scared of me.
Right.
You know?
And rightfully so, I think.
Yeah, at that point, I realized that, you know, God, I am kind of crazy about this Laker thing. But, hey, you know, it's also been a source of sanity to me throughout the years.
Of course.
So,
but the open letter to Kobe, you tell us in your words what you meant to say. Say it very well in your blog.
Well, I'm a rambling. I don't really think about what I write. But what I really meant to say was, with Kobe Bryant, I've stuck by the guy his whole career, and obviously a lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about Kobe Bryant. A lot of people really hate him. I've always defended him, and I know there's a lot of people like me, his supporters, and we have to defend him all the time, and we believe it, because we think, oh, this guy works so hard, dedicates himself so well to his craft. He's the best basketball player on earth.
And there are hardcore Laker fans who are very upset at him.
Oh, yeah, against him.
I mean, you have to defend him with Laker fans.
I'll probably have to defend him against you.
No, I'm a supporter. But.
Oh, okay. But, so anyways, then you hear he says he's going to leave. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, he has his reasons, but no matter what his problems are with the front office, no matter what his problems are with anyone, what about us who have stood by him? And any team that he goes to, they've all been, you know, talking trash about Kobe the whole time. And the one source of people who have really stood by him, who have really loved him, no matter what, are here in L.A., and we should be the ones that he cares about. That was what I was saying to him. Yeah,
that's well said.
But if you're a teammate of Kobe Bryant's, how do you feel about him when you take the floor next month? I mean, you have to have some resentment to the things that he said about that club in the offseason.
Were you talking about Andrew Bynum in particular?
Yeah. I mean, for starters, but everybody. I mean, he basically comes out and says, look, nobody else is getting the job done but me, and I want to be traded. And then, of course, he flip-flops on that. But, I mean, you have to feel some disrespect from Kobe, and that has got to – I mean, that's going to show itself up at some point.
Well, he didn't entirely say that about the whole team. He did say that Luke and Lamar worked really hard despite their injuries.
True.
And so on.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
But
it's true. They aren't winning enough. That's true.
Yeah,
how do you argue that?
I think that, you know, there were some guys last year that were mailing it in some nights, you know, and that's not cool. And I think that Kobe really cares. That's why he says that stuff. He cares. He wants to win. He loves basketball. He wants to play. He works so hard, he expects everyone else to work as hard. And, you know, I can relate to that. I think everyone should work hard, too. However, I love Andrew Bynum.
Yeah.
And he has the same birthday as my youngest daughter.
Well, then he's got to stay.
So I consider Andrew Bynum to be my son.
Your son, okay.
Say no more.
You have a very tall son.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, Flea is here from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're out of time for that, but a quick recap for folks who maybe didn't get all the information or need to hear it again. Melissa, Kevin's wife, is also here. Of course, she's the chair of the friendsandhelpers.org. That's the website. And what's the recap of what it is you want the K-Rock listeners to do today for you, Melissa?
I want them to go to friendsandhelpers.org or fnh.org and click on our Target wish list and buy school supplies. Backpacks would be great. Anything they want to buy, go today. We need to get everything done by Labor Day and get it delivered. We've got 6,000 backpacks to do. And just give from your heart anything you can to make a kid have a great first week, first day at going back to school. And to come out and see the Lamb this Sunday at...
I don't think I'm known as the Lamb.
I think you're known as the Lamb.
Really?
At Galpin Auto Sports from 1 to 3 this Sunday. And
if you want to drop stuff off,
if you'd like to drop off some school supplies, we need everything. We need your help. And the K-Rock listeners have always been so generous to our Friends and Helpers program. And I just want to say thanks to Flea for just being such a stand-up guy and coming in and supporting us today. It's there's not that many nice people in the world, except our K-Rock listeners, of course. But for Flea to get up on his very few days off and to come in and do this for us is so major. And I'm so appreciative of meeting a whack job at the Grammys and staying in touch with me and doing this for us. I think deserves a round of applause from the K-Rock team. And And I and thanks you guys for letting me make my annual visit. I really appreciate it.
And Flea also has a charity
and
Flea's music
charity
school.
Is amazing.
And when he's doing a fundraiser for that, we'd like to have you back on. And
but you guys go on today, would you, so that I can actually get a night's sleep and not bug Kevin,
please,
because then he won't be as confusing as he usually is. So we'd appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Flea, for coming in. We appreciate it.
Don't be a square. Donate to the cause.
So we had Flea in a few minutes ago. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Guy's got one of the coolest jobs in the world. But so does our next guest. Please welcome back to the studio the spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association, our pal with the gadgets, Jim Berry, is here. Hey, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Nice to be with you.
Good. Kind of a bonus visit from you. We're so used to talking to you ahead of your convention in Las Vegas in January, but there's so much cool stuff this year that we got you here in the middle of summer, too.
Well, that's right. And we like to take all this stuff with us, and digital technology is getting all these things smaller.
Right.
So we can take our electronic products with us and our information and entertainment. I actually have a little thumb drive here. A lot of people are using these thumb drives now, a little USB drive you plug into your computer,
right,
move stuff around. This one is a gigabyte, but the cool thing about this one is those of you in the studio can see that this is a little Gibson guitar.
It's an He's got a little case.
In a little Gibson guitar case, and just like your any electric guitar, you just plug that baby in there and plug it into your amp, but you plug this right into your computer. So this is the Les Paul Gibson guitar.
It's that's the smallest guitar in the world.
Yeah, it's just a smaller version of the real thing.
I know. The neatest thing about it is the little case.
It's got a little case.
It's got a little Gibson
fits right in the palm of your hand.
And that's from Gibson. It's about $90 or so.
That's
and it's a gigabyte.
Awesome.
It's a gig thumb drive. So very, very
That's very cool. Psycho Mike, who plays the guitar, just had to run over there and take a look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And to touch it. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I had one fellow recently who said, do you have a Fender? And I didn't really get Fenders and Gibsons. It's like Chevys and Fords.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
You got the, that's like a religion, I think.
Now, I saw you wearing some funky glasses, and unless they're showing 3D movies down at K-Rock now, what are you wearing? What's that all about?
Well, that is video eyewear. That's from a company called iQuity, and they have a number of these different ones. This one is for your iPod video. It's configured just for your iPod video. So a lot of people say, why do I want to watch a movie or a TV show on a 2-inch screen because I have the big screen at home. This simulates a 40-inch TV screen.
It looks like a black pair of sunglasses.
Looks like that dude on Data, I think, on Star Trek.
Yes.
And but you put that on. It's got the little earbuds, and it's about $250 or so. Great on an airplane. Great traveling this summer. Great if you're on a road trip or in the backseat of a car. You simulate a 40-inch television screen with this video eyewear. Now, I've seen from other companies also that have these kind of things, and it really is another indication of how we can take all this stuff with us just about anywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're getting this video iPod I have is a 30-gigabyte video iPod, so you can put tons of video on there. You can with thousands of songs, just about all of your collection of music and videos.
That almost looks like you could get away with that in class at school. It almost looks like it.
Well, hey, Jim, as you're wearing that, can you also see what's in front of you? Is there a way to kind of see past or around the video that you're watching as well?
You know, you would want to be sitting down and in the back seat of the car.
Sure, of course.
Right, okay.
Because you're not going to see anything else. I would probably call that kind of a low-level virtual reality. You know, you have these virtual reality helmets and stuff.
Right,
I've seen those at the Consumer Electronics Show over the years, and most of those are still commercial things like flight simulators or, you know, wicked cool gameplay and stuff, but you don't want to be walking around or riding around with any of that kind of stuff.
Hey, real quick, if you can give me 1 minute on a tangent since you brought up the iPod, what has the reaction been in your industry from the professionals that you deal with to the iPhone? Did it live up to the hype? Are people mostly satisfied with it?
Well, people are satisfied with it who have it. I would say that nothing could live up to that hype.
Yeah, true.
You know, the hype, I was asked several times leading up to the introduction in late June, have you ever seen anything like this? I've been writing about electronics for almost 30 years now, and with the exception of video games, the next generation of all of the video games over the years, I'd never seen any product introduction hype like we saw for the iPhone. So having said that, you know, how could you really live up to that? They didn't sell as many as a lot of people said they were going to sell, you know, 500,000 the first day and stuff. It looks like more
pretty expensive.
A couple of hundred thousand. Well, that's the thing. It's expensive as a phone.
Right.
It is big as a phone. It is great as a very low-priced internet access device. And
I mean, it is an actual Mac computer for people who don't realize that.
Yeah, yeah, and with wireless connection. And that's the real connection when you see the ads and stuff is that Wi-Fi connection.
Right.
Because it is using not the newest generation of the AT&T system. So that, you know, as a phone, it's okay. But as an internet access device, it is way cool, and it really is the beginning of the next generation of being able to get on the internet anywhere wirelessly. So,
very cool.
So, but the original question, I don't think anything could live up to that.
Right. Yeah. This is the voice of Jim Barry in our studio. He's the spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association. I see you have some other gadgets there with you today. What else? What do you got for us next?
Well, I've got a couple of camcorders. You know, in the summertime here, a lot of us traveling. This one is from Sanyo, and it's one of those Exact, E-X-A-C-T-I, Exact Eye. But the neat thing about this one, in addition to being a very nice aquamarine light blue color,
right,
is that it's waterproof. So,
really?
You know, if you're at a backyard pool, something like that, this is good for up to an hour in about 5 feet of water. So snorkeling, not diving. You know, if you're a diver, those of you who are divers know you can get a housing for your any camera or camcorder.
Right.
But this one, the enclosure is such that you can, it's rated that it is waterproof. It's about $500 or so. It's a 6-megapixel digital still camera and a camcorder that uses those little postage stamp size SD cards.
And that one's is not high def.
It's not high
not
def.
High def.
It's MPEG-4, which is really nice. You talk about high def. I do have one.
I happen to have one right there.
That is high def. This is from Panasonic, and this one is about the size and the configuration of a can of your favorite beverage.
Yeah,
it's a little cylinder.
Yeah, it's like the size of a Coke.
A Coke. Yeah.
Yeah, and this one is from Panasonic. It records, again, it's telling me that I'm taking out this little SD card. It comes with a 4 gigabyte, that's 4 billion byte SD card, and it needs that because it's recording in HD. You get about 40 minutes of HD or a couple of hours of SD, standard definition.
And this is
1080i, which is what they use on CBS and NBC. It is Dolby Digital Surround.
Wow.
So this is a 5.1 in the palm of your hand, and the price on this is $1,300 or less. So when you think about that.
That's a tremendous amount of money, I know, but compared to high def cameras,
well,
yeah, video
compared
cameras.
To, you know, 15 years ago, I was the editor of Video Magazine, and new camcorders would come out that were 5 times the size of this, 1/10, if that, the quality of this, and they'd be $2,000 or more.
Right.
And that's like the first VCRs, the first VHS VCRs when they came out in the late 70s. The big news was it was twice the recording time of Betamax, 4 hours, and it was only $1,000.
Right, right, right.
And for most of us, $1,000 is still an awful lot of dough.
Of course.
I tell you, in the late 70s, $1,000 was really a lot of dough.
But if $1,300 is too much for you, you can also realize that in a year,
it's going to go down.
It's
that's
go way
one
down.
Of the great things about electronics is the prices get lower as this stuff gets better. And that's not true of just about any other consumer product that you look at these
You're
days.
Right. Wow. Yeah. You have the best job. I know we ask you this every time you come in, but at what point do they come and pry this stuff out of your cold, dead fingers? I mean, you do have to give it back, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
these
so things
bogus.
Are on loan. Yeah, but it's we get to play with all the new stuff, which is very cool. And, yeah, I've been doing this for the Consumer Electronics Association for more than a dozen years now, so and I always look forward to talking to you guys.
Well, we have the conversation when you come in about is are enough people that listen to this radio station interested in these small gadgets? And our answer is we don't really care
because we need to see them and we need to know what's out there.
We love them.
Yeah. Well, most
Jim, is all the stuff you've described today, is all of this available now, or is some of this not out yet?
All of this stuff is in the stores now. A couple of places you can go. CE.org is the Consumer Electronics Association website. That is a lot of stuff that most people aren't interested in, but it links to all these company websites, which will tell you where you can buy this stuff. There's another new one called MyCEKnowHow.com, MyCEKnowHow.com. The neat thing about that is if you're thinking of buying an HD TV, if you're thinking of buying an MP3 player, a digital camera, it has sections on all of those with questions, answers, glossary of terms. So you get a little info before you go into the store and those guys start talking those different languages.
We'll
you.
Put all that up at krock.com, too, at the Kevin and Bean page links.
Very good.
Yeah.
You are the man, Jim. We always very much enjoy our time together. Jim Barry, spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association. Our advice, people, go out there and spend more than you can afford. Thanks for coming by, Jim.
Thanks, guys.
9 o'clock, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph. Kevin Federline has filed for primary custody of his children with Britney Spears.
Wow. It's going to be interesting.
People Magazine is reporting he just filed August 8th. The documents were filed. Apparently, Kevin, according to his lawyers, believes that the kids living with Britney exposes them to, and I quote, unnecessary risk. And that Kevin's seeking primary custody. This has been a bone of contention between these two for some time. Federline resisted initially signing divorce papers back in the day for the very same reason. He was concerned that Britney's bizarre behavior could be dangerous for the children. I don't know how he could think that.
Yeah.
Kids love mommy topless in a jacuzzi with a 13-year-old.
There's never been more of a slam dunk case in court. All Kevin Federline has to do is say, hey, look at TMZ.com today, and there'll be enough up there to justify my claim.
Federline's the sane one.
Yep.
Federline's the guy that left his two other kids, one in the womb.
He seems like the best option.
To go yes. with Britney. How's he the better option?
Look but
he
at
is.
Her.
I know.
That's how.
But she's her.
Isn't there a plan C? Some other plan that we haven't thought of?
He can't be the best hope those kids have. Those kids are screwed.
Nope, there's no other plan.
Okay.
Look, at least Grandma will be around, because when Federline's putting it to her, you know.
I've got
that's true.
I've got two words
good
for
point.
You.
Good point.
Angelina Jolie.
Just adopt him?
Boom.
She's got room.
She just takes him.
Yeah. Now, why would Kevin Federline think being around Britney would be exposing the children to unnecessary risk? Well, maybe it's this story that comes out of the National Enquirer. It turns out all those lollipops you see Britney sucking on these days are laced with drugs.
Yay!
Apparently, Britney discovered lollipops as a drug delivery device when she found marijuana-laced lollipops in Amsterdam 3 years ago. She loved it so much, she's now graduated to lollipops that are laced with a powerful narcotic known as fentanyl citrate.
Fentanyl is what they knock you out with, by the way, sometimes for surgery.
I've heard about these lollipops,
very
actually.
Strong.
This is
well, thanks for sharing, Lisa. How about not sitting on that kind of information?
Well, because it didn't ring a bell when Ralph first mentioned it, but actually there are people who have cancer and stuff that their teeth are kind of rotting because they use so many a day to kill the pain. But they'd rather do that than not have them.
Yeah.
But they're not really...
Isn't there a better way to give them the drugs then if their teeth are falling out?
I don't
out?
Know.
Can't you just
it
inject it?
It sounds like...
Take a pill?
Maybe this is what they can do
they,
at home.
They have...
Mix it in the apple juice?
Fentanyl patches.
Crush it up into your applesauce?
Fentanyl patches that you wear 24 hours a day. That's what I was wearing when I came off of it. And they gave me those
See?
Lollipops.
Are you on them again?
To help
you're on
get
them again,
it
aren't
no,
you?
No, I didn't
you're,
even use
you're
the lollipops because I was so angry.
You're
but
back on the patches.
I'm not. I'm just saying that's how they're normally given.
I've seen morphine lollipops given to people, but mostly because, like Lisa said, they're eating so many pills in a day to equal that amount that it's a better way as far as stomach distress.
Yeah, it may bother their stomach, and this gives you like a even dose as you.
Thank God Britney's got a hold of them.
Do they have like bubble gum in the center or something? Do they have like a charm blow pop kind of version of this?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm interested.
You know, that would be a really controlled substance.
Super controlled.
I'm surprised that she would have them.
Yeah, well, she's rich and famous.
Really well.
Yeah.
She's got control over them now.
She does.
There was a big hullabaloo recently on TMZ when they were saying, how gross is it she was sharing a lollipop with this dude that she was partying with? She passed her lollipop into the back seat, and the guy started sucking on it. Maybe now we know why.
Dude, give me a hit of that lollipop.
Don't Bogart the lollipop, bitch.
Exactly.
Pearl Jam's pissed off.
What?
Surprise, surprise.
What now? They're always pissed off about something.
I know. Apparently, when they were performing at Lollapalooza,
yeah.
the AT&T Blue Room was webcasting it.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into a version of Daughter that was rather politically charged. It was filled with ad-libs that were anti-Bush, anti-President Bush.
Wait, Eddie Vedder spoke out about the administration?
When he wasn't busy dragging crippled vets up onto stage, he was also singing about how bad George
During
Bush
Daughter.
Is.
Daughter, okay.
While they were showing it, the AT&T censored that section, dropped it out during the webcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
People noticed a bizarre silence during Daughter and was wondering what was going on when the band addressed it on their website yesterday, saying what had happened and also voicing some concerns about this incident relating to the larger issues of, you know, internet neutrality and the fact that they're not too pleased that some company would just indiscriminately decide to censor their
I don't care
beliefs
what
in
they,
that performance.
What they feel like politically, if you're going to broadcast Pearl Jam, then you broadcast Pearl Jam or not.
That's the deal you make,
That's
right?
ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a pretty crappy thing to do to those guys. So
But I like AT&T. They're great. I love
them. Well, they do great stuff for us.
But I don't want my cell phone to drop out.
I mean, the AT&T Blue Room is how sometimes we broadcast shows as well, but we don't want them
editing
stuff either. That's weird.
I'm sure Eddie Vedder was outraged. Ralph, what did he have to say about it?
I'm really upset. I'm so furious that I'm going to... Oh, you better watch it because I'm really angry at you now.
You're saying that he's not a high energy guy?
I'm saying when it comes to energy, he's not a ball of fire.
Except for when he sings, then he is. But when he talks, no.
Yeah. Ah, Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy.
Oh!
He's a homo.
Poor bastard. It's bad enough he's got to sing for Fall Out Boy. But apparently he also is battling depression and has for the past decade.
Well, wouldn't you be depressed if you were singing for Fall Out Boy?
Well, absolutely.
Or playing bass.
And dating Ashley Simpson.
Yeah, that's the part.
He told English magazine Q that the condition he thinks stems from his parents separating on his sixth birthday. Let's see. So you're six.
Six, and now you're...
Get over it! Someone needs to shake the eyeliner right off of this dude.
Well, I don't think it comes off. That's sweat-proof. Yeah, that's good.
Tattooed?
Good stuff.
He had a tattooed
guy liner.
Everyone's talking about the upcoming Star Trek film, which, as you may have heard, is a prequel. It harkens back to the days at the Starfleet Academy for the crew of the Enterprise, how they all met before they started taking their 5-year mission to seek out new worlds, new civilizations, to boldly go.
We know which one you're talking about, Ralph.
Zachary Quinto has been cast as young Spock in the film, and now IGN.com is claiming that J.J. Abrams is trying to talk his buddy from the Mission Impossible movies into doing a cameo role as Captain Christopher Pike, captain of the Enterprise before James Kirk took over.
Does he have to wear an eye patch?
Yes. And a Nazi uniform. It's very strange. No one understands it. Melanie Brown got married in June. This is the mother of Eddie Murphy's baby, who has been very public about her disdain for Eddie ever since he pretty much has denied the existence of the child and isn't giving her any child support. I guess she got over him pretty quick because she married this guy in June. His name is Steven Belafonte. He's the producer for many motion pictures, including Thank You for Smoking.
He also did, Deo!
I don't think it's that Belafonte.
Oh.
I think that's a different Belafonte. Deo. And let's take a look at the top 10 TV shows from last week, shall we? So You Think You Can Dance, number 10. Number 9, Hell's Kitchen. Oh. CSI Miami, number 8. 60 Minutes, number 7. CSI, number 6. Without a Trace, number 5. 2.5 Men, number 4. So You Think You Can Dance, number 3.
Yeah.
Singing Bee, number 2. America's Got Talent, number 1 TV show in the nation last week.
We know how to pick them. Those are some of our least favorite shows.
The ones we rail about the most, everyone is watching.
Yep.
And lastly, you got to love a woman who's committed to her dream. Antoria Jillian was in line in Dallas for the American Idol auditions when the 20-year-old went into labor and refused to leave the audition.
In labor?
Yeah, I was going to have a baby. He said, really, you should go have your baby. No, I'm auditioning. She held on. She clenched her knees. She held her thighs together until she got into her audition and got a golden ticket to go to Los Angeles.
She's saying while in labor and won.
Yes. She will never be able to hit those notes again, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the contractions give you a little extra motivation.
She had such an intensity. I've never seen anything like it.
She had the baby the next day. She was rushed to the hospital, had a long labor, and then had a child early the next morning, and named him Jameel LeBaron Idol McCowan.
Idol. Come on.
Jameel LeBaron.
That's bad enough.
I wonder if she's Scottish. Think she's a Scottish lass?
Yes. I would say so.
Oh, those blacks. Maybe somebody we could axe a black.
Maybe.
Oh, we do have that coming up.
We might have that option.
What's up with the names? I think it's what we have to ask.
Great idea.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Melanie Griffith, classic, classic actress. Just one of the best, really, out there.
Bean Hater.
Gillian Anderson from The X-Files is 39. Eric Bana from Munich and other motion pictures, 39 years old today. Remember I was telling you Sam Elliott, one of my favorite character actors?
Yeah.
He's 63 years old today, and I was taking a look at his resume. And
old Leatherface.
Just the quintessential sort of cowboy. He was born in the wrong era. He'd be a big star if he was born back in the 50s and they're still making big westerns. But I was looking at his movies. Most recently, he was in Ghost Rider. He was in Thank You for Smoking. He played the Marlboro Man in that, remember?
That's right.
The Hulk, Big Lebowski, of course. He was the Stranger in that. Virgil Earp in Tombstone. He was in Mask.
who's actually in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. He goes, his career goes back that far.
Wow.
But the one we forgot, and I'm so ashamed, he was in Roadhouse.
What was he in Roadhouse?
He was the king of the coolers. Remember, he was the one who taught Patrick Swayze
That's
how to cool.
Right.
That is correct.
Hey, how you doing, Dalton? Hey, Dalton. I'm back.
Let's totally forgot
kick
about
some
that.
Ass, Dalton.
Love him in that movie. Sam is 63 years old today, and Whitney Houston turns 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
It's Thursday morning on K-Rock. We're going to debut something new here that, Kevin, you were making it sound earlier like word got out that this feature was being debuted today, and there was some nervousness in the halls. I don't understand what that's about. Why? What are you talking about?
You know the halls, dude. You know the suits. You know everybody.
Right, I do.
You know how much.
But look at the runaway success of Ask a Mexican. I mean, there couldn't be a more popular segment on the Kevin and Bean Show than Ask a Mexican.
Gustavo Arellano comes in about once a month, and we do Ask a Mexican. And he has actually written a book called Ask a Mexican. Sorry, I'm getting my features mixed up. and so we have people call. We say, why do Mexicans swim in their jeans or whatever? And he gives an answer.
Right, which is, I think, educational and entertaining.
Now, we have a longtime friend named Anel, who's he's a listener of the show, but he's super cool. And he emails us all the time. He's very funny.
Hey, Token.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We call him Token. And he's a black guy, so we thought, why not transfer the success of Ask a Mexican to our new feature, which is Ask a Black.
Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now.
Oh, yeah!
Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black.
Sing along if you know it.
It's time to Ask a Black.
Oh, that's beautiful. See, if you're a lot of people like me, for instance, you don't have any African-American friends, so you have these burning questions. There's no place to go. Where do I go to ask questions? And that's why Anel comes in handy. And we might start with, what's the deal with Axe? Why is it you see people who are otherwise obviously very intelligent and well-spoken, yet they still insist on using the word axe? What's
man,
that all about?
You know what? I could not give you an honest answer if I tried, man. I've asked myself the same question several times. Every time I ask myself this question, you know, I just come to the same conclusion, man, that it's just one of those vernaculars of speech that has kind of worked its way into the American, ideology. And
but
black
only
people
in,
say axe.
Yeah, only into African Americans. Only into black people do they say axe, I think.
Let me tell you, it is now beginning to feature itself prominently in the Wigger culture.
Is that right?
I've seen the white
people.
Well,
sure, that's because axe. Wiggers want to be black.
There you go,
right,
of course.
Right.
There you go.
Of course.
But what would happen if you were to ask an otherwise intelligent, articulate, college-educated professional, hey, why do you still use axe? What would they say to you? Is it some sort of a statement against whitey? Is it some sort of a keeping your hair? Yeah, what's it all about,
hey,
do you think, from them?
Jesse Jackson does it, man. I've seen him on television. I've seen
really?
Al Sharpton. They both say axe. You know what I mean? I've even heard Spike Lee. Spike Lee and I went to the same college, man. We went to the Morehouse, and the brother.
Well,
axe,
look where he is and look where you are.
Well, good point.
you know what I'm saying?
but that's a perfect example of the kind of question, though, that people may think and not have anyone to ask. And that's why axe. That's why this is a great feature, and we're providing a real service to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Don't you agree?
It's contagious.
It is.
See, look, I'm telling you, man, watch it. A year from now, y'all going to be like, axe.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break and come back with your questions on our new feature.
Right now, same phone number for our new feature just debuting here today. It's called Axe of Black.
Axe of Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now.
Oh, yeah!
Ask a Black. Ask a Black right now. Ask a Black. It's time to Ask a Black.
Our friend Anel, longtime K-Rock listener in the studio, will field your questions you've always wanted to know about African-Americans. Why don't we start down there on line 5 with Tracy? She is in Woodland Hills, the very first caller on Axe a Black. Hey, Tracy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Tracy. How you doing, Mama?
Tracy, just before your question, I'd like to ask one that I think Bean just brought up, which is that we're almost afraid to say black. We know we have to say African-American now.
I don't have any Africans in my family.
But African-American, so African-American is not...
I prefer black, personally,
you do. Okay.
Man. I don't know any... I know a couple Africans, man, and they cricket.
It seems like every couple of years it changes and we can't keep up, so we're afraid to even refer to...
Black.
Black, okay.
Black is cool.
Tracy, what's your question?
My question is basically, why can't black people swim?
Tracy, have you seen how much jewelry we wear? Can you imagine Mr. T in a pool? That's going to just drag you to the bottom of the ocean. You know what I think it is, honestly, why blacks can't swim is because I think a lot of us have an inherent fear of water that's passed down from, like, the Middle Passage. I mean, imagine being trapped in a boat for, like, two months and all you see is water.
Don't like water.
Yeah, you love land. And plus, I mean, come on, man. Let me tell you something. When I swim.
Can you swim?
I can swim very well, man. But my hair. It turns into like this reverse Jerry curl. It dries out, and you know it's bad. It looks like a black Brillo, and it's not good. So I tend to stay out of the water.
What's that, Tracy?
It's a personal choice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, plus, you know, like I know black women. You know, you can't mess with a sister hair.
That's true.
Man, I can't even walk around my wife, and I'm sweaty because you know mess up her perm. Yeah.
That is a great answer. It never even occurred to me that it could have something to do with what it does to your hair afterwards.
If it's too much
trouble, what's the point of getting in the water, right?
That chlorine eats up some relaxer like it ain't nothing. But I'm telling you, boy.
All right, how about line 7? Let's try Steve. He's in Montebello, 1-800-520-1067. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve, Axe of Black.
How you doing, Axe of Black?
What's going on, Steve? What it do?
I got a question. Why do black people talk so loud? Even when they're whispering, they talk loud.
Because white people don't listen. you know what, man? I got to be honest with you, man. I am a victim of this. I speak very loud. You guys can probably admit, if you didn't have headphones on, you'd be deaf right now.
Yeah. Why is that?
I think because a lot of us come from big families. I know myself especially. I have three brothers, man. So you got to yell to get heard in my house. You know what I mean? It's almost like one of those caucuses, you know, where you're trying to get a question to Bush.
Yeah, we can't say that word, man.
Yeah.
No, caucus is okay, Kevin. Caucus is okay.
Caucus is fine. Bush is bad.
So that also makes sense. Big family, you've got to speak up if you're going to be heard. It's just like you can't be shy when they put the plate out there for dinner. If you want to eat, you got to go first, right?
Same kind of thing. A black family reunion, man, it's like 400 people with the same last name.
If you're just tuning in, we are doing our new feature.
Act to black.
All right. Now, what is going on with this Tyler Perry? That is the least funny dude ever, and his TV show is the highest rated thing on cable, and the black people love him. They go to his movies. Why is he so huge?
You know, I got to tell you, man, there are certain things that just do not translate well to television. Like, could you imagine, like, Cats, the miniseries?
No.
You know, exactly. So, you know, Tyler Perry does really good stage stuff, man. You go watch the stuff live on stage, the Madea, you know, this and the family.
He's funny.
He's hilarious, man, but when you put the stuff on television, you put the 30-minute constraint around it, the language, it just doesn't translate well. Because, I mean, I like Tyler. I mean, you know, I wouldn't trust the brother in the shower room, but aside from that, he's a cool cat.
George in Commerce, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Good, thank you. You're on with our friend Anil.
Every time I see the news and they interview witnesses or people that heard it, they always say, you know what I mean?
Okay, first of all.
And they always say that before they say anything, which kills
right.
me.
Look, first of all.
Look, you know what I mean? You go, you haven't said anything.
Look, let me clarify something, right. Okay? We don't say, you know what I mean.
No,
okay?
Of course not.
That would just take entirely too long. We say, nah, mean.
Nah, mean.
It's one word, K-N-A-M-E-A-N, nah, mean. Okay? And it's because we want to know, you nah, mean? I mean,
right, but if you say, you know what I mean, then you haven't said anything
hey,
yet.
Hey, man, look, you remember this TV show, The Smurfs? Every third word was Smurf, but everybody knew what everybody was talking about because you just got to be in the flow. You know, I'm going to walk with your brother and say, hey, bro, you know, what to do when I'm business, you know what I mean? And he going to look at me and go right back to me and be like, hey, it's all good play, you know what I mean? And it's just because we not mean.
And you know what's going to happen, again, I'm going to say, is that, you know, it takes a while, but eventually Whitey catches up with that, and we're all saying not a mean.
I don't even have it down yet. You'll get it, though.
All right.
Let's go to line 5. We'll talk to Bob. He's in San Dimas. One of the all-time mythical questions in this area. Bob, Axe of Black.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob, are you there?
Bob,
are you scared of black people? It's okay. We're all family here, Bob. This is the time for you
this
to leave.
This is your safe place.
Let me go back to him one more time. Bob, are you there? Okay, not there.
He must have picked out the phone. His question was, why do black people talk back to the movie screen?
The movie screen spends 2 hours talking to you.
Right, but
you know, I can't get a couple words in, you know what I'm saying?
No! You can't!
I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know what that comes from, man. I think maybe it comes from, you know, like the whole culture, man, is we always got to get the last word in, man.
Is that something that you do in a family at home, watching TV?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. I haven't, to this day, never heard an entire episode of Friends. I always get them cut off by commentary.
Really?
It's like DVD commentary.
Well, that makes sense, huh? That makes sense.
Nell, we have so many great questions. We're going to have to schedule another round of Axe of Black, I think, because there's clearly no way we're going to be able to get to it all today. But I think we've made a first step toward a very valuable service on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Don't you guys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do.
Fascinating.
There's
some good questions up here, by the way. I'm looking at a couple of them.
Yeah, we don't have time for all of them, though, now. So we are going to have you back.
Why don't black women wash their hair?
I didn't realize that was a problem. Is it?
I'm not a black woman. You have to ask. Yeah, no, we can definitely do this again whenever y'all. All right. I'm saying, I mean.
Okay. Yeah, of course. Of course, we know.
Yeah, we know. Me.
Nicely done, B. Hands up, black right now. Hands up, black. What a new nephew is next? Hands up, black right
now. Oh yeah. Hands up, black.
Why do you put law?
Hands up, black right now. Hands up, black. It's time to wax a black.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
This is a feature we like to call Ask a White at 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now on any topic. You get a prize. How about 50 free songs from iTunes? That gives you enough to get both High School Musical albums and still have a few songs left over. So it's a tremendous prize today.
Pretty sure I can't hate you more. All right.
I'm just saying.
Let's begin with Ryan in Brea. Good morning, Ryan. Welcome to the show. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo? Ralph?
Hey, now.
Hi.
Hey, Ralph, I emailed you an article. I sent you a link in regards to the guy that caught the Bonds home run ball. Did you get a chance to read that?
I did. They want to tax him already.
Yeah.
Before he
they're
sold
talking
it?
About, they're saying the ball was worth, if it's worth $600,000, he's in the highest tax bracket there is in the United States, and they're talking about taxing him for $210,000.
Are you kidding? They want to tax him on the worth of the ball.
So yeah. If he decided to keep it.
And
not
sell
it.
He'd still be taxed because that's the value of it.
Harry didn't want the ball back.
It's as if you win a car on a game show, and you know you have to pay the taxes for the value of the car.
That is
wrong. They're treating it as if the ball has an intrinsic financial value to it, and he's got to pay tax on that value.
I know that the IRS has a huge problem with people trying to skip out on their taxes and blah, 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 but seriously, this is one baseball. Why are you going to put that guy in the top tax bracket?
I mean, if and when he sells it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
No. I'm reading right here. It says even if he does not sell the ball.
I know. That's ridiculous.
Which forces him.
Based on reasonable estimate of its value.
Yeah, they're taxing him on the value of the ball, not whether he makes any money on it or not.
So they're going to force him to sell it, essentially.
Pretty much, unless he's got a whole lot of cash.
Oh,
this guy's like 25 or something.
Yeah, he doesn't
there's
have
no
any
way
money.
He has a couple million bucks.
I hate the IRS. That's stupid. Just stupid.
And you know, they were trying to tax the guy that sold Mark McGwire's ball for $3 million. And according to this, politicians quickly disavowed the agency and made the guy not have to pay the taxes.
Well, I hope they step up for this one, too.
This guy will get a break, too.
Ridiculous.
By the way, it was Kevin who said, I hate the IRS, by the way, in case anyone from the services out there listening.
I'm already on their list.
All right.
Don't worry about that. All right, let's go to Julie, who is calling us from Culver City. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Julie.
What it do?
Good. So, this is for Bean, actually. I got a jury summons a month ago, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to call in. I called in to register, and I was supposed to call back on the 17th of July.
Right.
I totally forgot to call. I did not call at all, so I was freaking out, like, oh, my God, they're going to find me, and I'm going to pay all this money. Now they send me another jury summons that I have to go to jury service.
Right, right.
And I do not want to go at all. So I'm just like, Bean, if you ever get a jury summons, don't even call to register it. You'll automatically get on a trial. Sucks.
Oh, I see. So since you didn't show up, now they're making you, it's a mandatory thing you have
mandatory.
To serve on a trial. I see.
Yes. And since I'm going
Julie,
on Thursday.
But that's great.
I don't want to talk to Julie. Julie's dead to me. I can't even talk to her. She
that's great.
All, Bean wants to go, Julie. He wants to go to a trial.
Right, but what Julie's saying, if he skips the first one, then he's guaranteed to be on a jury instead of just showing up and not getting used.
Oh, I see. That's
but the problem
plan.
With this is that Bean will never get called the first time.
Right, exactly.
Problem.
So she's just, A, she's a bad citizen, and she probably should move to Russia with her communist friends, and B, she's just rubbing salt in my wounds because I can't get called, so thanks for nothing.
Bean can't imagine ever forgetting that you have jury duty.
I know,
he would have like neon signs around his house, and giant countdown calendars.
Calling him a week ahead. You need me now?
Hey,
I can come in early.
I got nothing to do. Johnny and La Puente, good morning.
What do, nephew?
What it do?
Yesterday I was at the Angels game, and we were doing the 17th stretch. And from left field, some crazy bastard wanted to run across the field naked and with completely nothing on. So he went from left field to right center, and right there, right in the middle, he got tackled by the police.
Johnny, are you running right now as you're trying to tell us the story?
No, man. I'm feeling sick right now.
Oh, no.
Jeez, Johnny.
Hang up and take care of yourself.
He wants his gift card.
All right. We're going to put you on hold. Go throw up, and then we'll get your gift card, okay? All right. Thank you.
It's a sad thing now.
I get sick when I have to talk to us, too.
It's a sad thing now that they don't show the streakers. They don't show them on TV, of course, but they don't show them on the big screen. I mean, they really do everything they can to discourage people from doing it because some people will do it for the attention. And I think that's a bad call. I think we deserve to see that.
In the guy's defense, though, he wasn't totally nude. He was wearing a rat over his genitals at the Angels game.
By the way, Ralph, speaking of baseball, you know what's on TV tonight, don't you?
If it has to do with baseball, then no, I don't.
It has to do with the Indianapolis Colts and the Dallas Cowboys, ladies and gentlemen, playing football
preseason
tonight.
Ball.
How about that?
Oh, that's right. Fantastic.
Tonight's the first night.
That's good news.
Well, technically the second one, I guess, after the Hall of Fame game. But, yeah, it's actual first quarter, probably only football you can actually see on your TV tonight.
Monday's Eagles-Ravens.
Oh, that's great. All right, so we had the guy in from the Consumer Electronics Association telling us about the new gadgets. And Carmen is on the phone from Alhambra. Good morning, Carmen.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Sorry.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
What can I do for you?
What are you like?
You have a very soft voice.
I'm sorry. It's just I'm at work.
Right, we were talking about
playing ping pong while you're talking to us. What's that about?
It's hiding.
That's the NSA, by the way. They're listening in.
Yeah. All right.
No, I was just calling in because I was watching the news yesterday, and they were saying, like, for the first nine people that were waiting in line were going to get the iPhones this morning for 99 cents.
Yeah, I saw that. Too. What's going on with your phone?
I'm so sorry.
Well, just leave it next to your head.
Quit banging it on a wall.
Are you calling from your vulva?
Sorry.
How do you know she has a Volvo?
No, Kelly. No. All right. How does this work? Is this just to get a lot of publicity and have a million people show up at the store and cameras and the whole deal? That's why they do it, I guess?
Yes. They sell them for 99 cents, but there's very few of them, so most people don't get them for that, and then they show up. And
imagine if you're one of the first nine, though.
It'd be great.
Score an iPhone for 99 cents.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I'm sure people were camping out, weren't they?
Thank you, Carmen.
And the IRS will tax you $2,000.
Because that's what it should have cost you. Yeah. Right.
All right. Why don't we close with Paul, who's on line 7. He's calling with, is this good news or bad news? We have to decide. Good morning, Paul. What'd it do, nephew?
Bad news for Kevin.
What'd it do, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Paul?
Good, Paul.
What?
Look, I'm just happy that they're canceling John from Cincinnati, the total disgrace of a show that replaced
Dude, I love that show.
No, listen, I put a lot of time and effort into this show. They've completely wasted my time, and I've got a couple of these websites that usually leak the information a few weeks at a time about what's going to get canceled, what's happening with what. This show is done. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to watch
it. Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying it's canceled, or is the buzz that it's canceled, or has it been canceled?
I think the buzz that it's going to be canceled, this season finale is going to be it. They may wrap it up like a special two-hour special at the end, but that's it.
You know, Paul, you could just stop watching as opposed to being happy that it's canceled for everyone who's enjoying
There's
it.
There's nothing I could do about it. I had to watch it.
Well, it's like I've already watched the whole first season, practically, hoping that they're going to replace The Sopranos with something of quality.
Well, you don't have to compare it to The Sopranos. It's a different show.
That's nothing like it.
But don't I, though?
No,
you don't have to at all.
You know what Paul is? Paul is the Grinch who's sitting up there on Mount Crumpet trying to figure out how to stop Christmas from coming for everybody because he doesn't like Christmas.
I don't like it, so none of you should watch it.
If you take 5 minutes and try and understand John from Cincinnati, all you're going to come away with is...
All right. Let me test that out. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and I'll test it out.
If my words are yours, can you hear my father? Can Bill know my father, keeping his eye on me? Can I bone Kai and Butchie know my father instead? My father's shy doing his business. Kai helps my father dump out. Bill takes a shot. Shawnee is much improved. Joe is a doubting Thomas.
Seriously, like that isn't clear to everyone.
I totally understood that.
It's clear that it's going to get canceled.
Oh, Paul, you're a hater.
Hater.
We don't need your hateration, though.
You know, I enjoy watching John from Cincinnati. I've seen every episode. I don't think it's a good show.
But yeah, you're not thrilled that it's canceled.
But you enjoy watching it.
It's very involving.
It's
like hypnotizing that show because it's so bizarre. But I don't think it's very good.
I got to tell you, Ed O'Neill.
It's hard to explain.
Ed O'Neill.
Great actor.
Is great on this show, too.
But I think the characters are so interesting because, solely pretty much because they're so weird. That's how you end up watching.
Yeah, there is that. Let me tell you about a new show that is coming on Showtime, and that's Californication.
Can't wait.
And that, I've seen the first episode, is great.
The homosexual is right.
It's Dave Duchovny, right?
That's, yeah. It's Dave Duchovny.
Right?
It's Monday night after, I think, Weeds.
Yes.
He plays an author who had a huge best-selling book, and now he's struggling to come up with a follow-up book, right?
And he bangs every chick in available, every chick in life he has sex with.
Well, all right, then.
There's probably four or five sex scenes in the first episode.
Dude.
That Duchovny.
He knows how to work
yes,
it, doesn't
maybe Paul
he
can does. Watch that.
Remember when he talked to us and said, I'm not really into that so much, though, the whole TNA thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I read it.
Yeah.
The same thing.
I'd say that, too, if I was doing that show, I'll tell you.
And
I had a wife to go home to.
But it's a really good show on top of that. So
cool.
Look for that on Monday night on Showtime. That's a good one.
And tonight is Mad Men, by the way, on AMC.
Right.
If you're not watching Mad Men, you should catch up with that because that's an excellent show.
That's
as well.
A good one,
yep.
too.
Thanks to Paul and all our callers on What to Do Nephew, and thanks to our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of the Consumer Electronics Association, Jim Barry, the spokesperson for stopping by with some new gadgets today. Also, don't forget, if you're a big fan, as we are, of the Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
Internet sensation.
Some stay dry and others feel the pain.
Got our own version of that by the Kevin and Bean intern Shaolin Robot. A lot of people have been asking anyway, hey, I want to see what the Shaolin Robot looks like. She sounds so hot. Well, you can check her out. The video is up at krock.com. Her version, Shaolin Rain. And I want to thank Flea from the Red Hot Chili Pepper for stopping by, too, for a very, very good cause. Kevin, how about a quick recap for folks who want to support you and your charity?
It's a back-to-school drive. 6,000 kids that we're trying to provide with a backpack full of school supplies because when they have to flee their house because of domestic abuse, they got nothing.
Yeah.
So,
is that why you invited Flea to come in, because of that?
Huh? Flee, because they have to flee their house.
They have to flee their house? So you said, oh, that's who can we get to talk about that?
Wow.
They flee their homes, and he flees.
No,
he's fleeing.
That's not it. But anyway, go to krock.com, and the link is on there. Or you can go to our website, friendsandhelpers.org, or fnh.org, and there's a link to a Target gift registry and stuff like that. And we're just trying to help kids go back to school.
Your daughters get, like, the pick of the best stuff, though.
No,
right? They go through, and they just say, Daddy, I want the meat organizer.
Nope.
Yes, honey, whatever you want. They just, it's like they just go through and get
Why
all
Why would
free.
We have a meat organizer?
Not meat.
Oh.
Mead, the brand of school supply.
Lightning, you got a gig you want to talk about?
I do. It's gonna be me and James Worthy hanging out today in the Lakers.
You and Big Game James.
Me and Big Game James. Yeah,
I'll let you do this one. You and James Worthy. That's
you
good.
Could so yeah, post up girls. On him.
Yeah, there's a grand opening of a Circuit City and Foothill Ranch from 2 to 4 o'clock today. I'm going to be down there. They've got the World Cyber Games. Like I said, James Worthy. We've got a bunch of concert tickets. So it's in Foothill Ranch, brand new Circuit City, opening up today, 2 to 4. And it's at 26542 Town Center Drive, Highway 241 at Alton Parkway.
You might as well be the invisible man if you're standing next
yeah.
to James Worthy, former superstar, former great athlete.
I am an amoeba.
No one's going to say a word to you.
That's true.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Daryl Hammond. He's doing some improv. We'll talk to him. We have Les Stroud, who's the host of Survivor Man.
Yes.
That debuts a new season tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel.
And he's the real one, right? It's like that homo Bear Grylls who stays in lodges and four-star hotels when he's out there, right?
I still think there's something more to that story because I believe Bear.
I think so, too.
But anyway, Movie Beats
Don't be
tomorrow
a sucker.
Because it's Friday. And I'm also going to tell you about a new show that I'm hosting on the History Channel called Human Weapon.
I don't
and,
think it's you.
I'm going to tell you about...
No,
that's
not
you.
I'm not.
No, you're not
that.
No, we're having the host of that show in. I don't think you're the guy who's fighting in every possible style
Jason
around the world.
Chambers
no.
is the guy. That's right. So
thank
that's
you,
all
Mike.
Tomorrow morning.
Kat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock on KRQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles, including Tarantula, the new one from the Pumpkins, also the Rockin' Tours. We got Green Day, Against Me, Sublime, and more after this on K-Rock.